much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And the winner is, well, the time has come.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Nothing. Sorry.
That is pure, raw, natural talent. That there's nothing forced. There's nothing pushed. It is just raw, natural talent. And I am so glad you're here today.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
I don't like his tone.
And now
you are mumbling.
What am I doing?
You're mumbling.
I'm mumbling.
Never mumble.
No.
People think you're crazy. Then they take you downtown and they turn the hose on you. Is that what you want, Tim?
Who does
you
what?
You want the hose?
Our feature presentation.
I think that is how it works. They do take you downtown, then they do turn the hose on you. You don't want
to. Hey, Lisa, speaking of hoses.
Wow.
Man.
That was kind of icky.
Ugh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start off icky. That's not how you want to get going on a new
not
week,
really.
Is it?
No.
All right. Let me take that one back. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
Better?
Yes.
Yes, much better.
Leaves a little bit more to the imagination.
Yeah, exactly. And yet I felt a little warm inside.
Wow. I was still thinking of the hose, and you were thinking of something non-hose related.
How often do you think that happens?
But he was thinking of the garden hose, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Nah, we're not. Hey, party people, it is Monday. Let's get this conversation out of the way early so we don't have to do it when people are listening. Kevin, how'd your soccer game go yesterday?
Yeah. I'd like to, not great. I think we need to do this later, too, because my man Dave needs to be.
Well, this is what I wanted to talk about, because has it been confirmed that Dave is the villain?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's me. Yeah.
Okay.
So the women's world.
Yes.
You want me to?
Yes, yes. Yeah, you go ahead and set up what was going on. That by the way, speaking of Dave, speaking of Twitter, and we'll get to that part of the story. New record on Twitter yesterday for tweets per second because of the Women's World Cup. 7,196 tweets per second on Twitter. Where else would they be during the Women's World Cup yesterday, which was the all-time new record?
It was in Germany.
The previous record was the death of Osama bin Laden. And and before that, the previous record was New Year's Eve in New Year's Eve 2010. So these are becoming huge social events. Anything that is going on that's big worldwide, you're going to see it. But yesterday Twitter was just on fire with the World Cup. So you pick up the story there.
So the World Cup is happening. We're supposed to win it. U.S. got the best team. Japan was not supposed to really go anywhere. And
they've been the surprise. They've been the dark horse, certainly. That they're the ones who beat Germany, right? The current champs, they beat Sweden, who had been undefeated.
Yep. So we meet them in the finals, and can't score a goal. 0-0 at halftime, and then the second half we score a goal. We're like, whew, finally! And then they score a goal. I don't know, in the 80th minute or something, really late, like almost too late. But now that we're tied, we go into overtime. So we go into overtime, and then America scores. So now the U.S. is ahead. We're in overtime. Everybody's like, woo, we're going to win this game.
USA! USA!
So I wish I remembered the times. I think it was an hour, 7.
Was it that early? Okay.
I think when we scored. And then a certain somebody who's standing in here who shall not be named Dave, the King of Mexico, tweeted on the Kevin and Bean page that the U.S. had won the World Cup. Now, World Cup wasn't exactly over, and Japan came back and tied it super late. We went into a shootout. We missed 3 shots. They won the World Cup. But I don't know how long it was before Japan won the World Cup that Dave tweeted, congratulations, America.
Apparently, it was 5 minutes before they scored the second goal. But you know what? Who watches soccer? So I'm reading my Twitter. I'm reading my Twitter timeline, and everyone's like, oh, USA, USA. You know, woo, we're number one. I was like, oh, we won. Cool.
You don't check. You don't just look just to make sure.
Hold on. So I tweet that, and then as soon as I
hit send. What was the exact?
Because you deleted it, right? I didn't get to see it.
Yeah. I didn't see it either.
I put, congrats, Kevin. You know, thanks to your support, the U.S. women's soccer team won the World Cup. Congrats, ladies. So
So then you dumbass.
And then as soon as I hit send, I was like, I wonder if the game's over. I should probably check. So I checked. I go, oh, crap.
Yeah,
and then
still
I deleted
playing.
It immediately. Immediately, I deleted it.
That's so
and then,
funny because
of course, and then 5 minutes later, oh, Japan ties it up like womp, 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 womp.
I went back to look for it because I kept getting all these tweets from people saying, hey, way to go. You screwed it up. And I was like, what are they talking about? So I went back and I searched. I couldn't find it anywhere. I didn't realize.
No, I deleted it. I deleted it like literally like maybe a minute later because I was like, oh, shoot, they're not done yet. Like rats.
But Dave, does there anything? I mean, I guess now the answer is obvious. You can see the fallacy of your system there. But why tweet, hey, congratulations, USA, you won, and then check to see if the game is over? Why not do it the other way around?
Because I was in a car and I was bored. So, you know.
It did look like the U.S. was going to win, and everybody was going crazy.
Well, I blame them. You know, if they would have won, then none of this would have been happened.
What?
You know? Way to go, ladies. Way to let us down. Way to let America down.
But what about
let's not focus on me. Let's focus on them.
Nope. Let's focus on you.
What about you, potentially, and you know there are a lot of sports fans who believe in jinxes, and they believe in the fans' ability to impact the outcome of the game. What if your tweet is the one that just tipped it just enough in Japan's favor that now that you're responsible for the USA losing the game? You ever think about that?
Then a nation owes me gratitude. They've gone through a hard time this past year.
Oh, you did it you for
know.
Japan.
No, I did not do it for Japan, but I'm just saying they could, you know, throw a little this way, you know? You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. Sushi, I don't have any idea what you're
free
saying.
Free trip to Tokyo? Huh.
I don't know that Dave. I don't know that Dave needs full privileges in tweeting for Kevin and Pete anymore.
I'm just saying,
Godzilla. I think it's an abuse of power.
I'm just saying you might want to double check.
Look, I'm especially just saying soccer, especially women's
understood.
Soccer.
Understood. Maybe you're not into it. By the way, it was an amazing, amazing game
for women's soccer. Yes.
No, for sports. I'm telling you, it isn't just. It isn't like you go. Oh, I love men's soccer, but this was the B level. But it was an amazing game. It was soccer.
I'm sure it was.
It was soccer, so you weren't interested.
It.
But if you're going to tweet about it, and it's that high profile of an event where it's the World Cup, I don't know, just glance at something. Go online and just check.
I blame Twitter.
Because everyone allowed you to be stupid?
Yes. It should have said, game's not over, fool. You know?
Well, Dave, you need to go tweet that traffic is jammed. It's a nightmare today because Carmageddon is running late. You need to go in there and post that one right now.
That'd be funny.
Might as well go the opposite of everything else.
Seriously.
Stupid Dave.
All right. You're excused, King.
All right.
And by excused, meaning we're going to kill you. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
No, I'd be against that.
Okay. We have Ken Block on the program today.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen his videos of, I think it's called Gymkhana.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not possible. What he does with a car is not possible. It's fascinating, but it isn't possible. It must be some kind of special effects or something. I don't know. One of the ones.
Now, he's bringing it to X Games, right?
I think
that's
so.
What's happening with Gymkhana.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm not positive if they're separate things. I know we're supposed to talk about both, but I'm not positive. But the one that I watched on YouTube had over 21 million hits.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy, right? It's just he's a magician.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. You had a premonition? Or how about a jinx? Maybe we'll talk about jinxes today. Stupid Dave. We were going to talk about having premonitions. Maybe we will still. Bean had one, or Bean's wife. And, you know, you look at each other and you go, I don't know, is this a sign? Maybe this is a sign. We need to pay attention because, you know, bad things might be happening. So if you get a premonition, you start feeling like maybe you better just follow. Because what's the downside? So they wanted to get off a plane, and we're not allowed to.
There's some downside to getting off a plane if you're trying to go on a trip. I mean, that's a
absolutely.
Big decision.
Yeah, I know. But you also think, I don't want to die.
Right. There's that,
right.
too.
So you need to pay attention.
And if you had the premonition that the plane was going to crash, and then you ignored it, and then you were
right.
on the plane, and it died, you'd never forgive yourself.
Correct. We're going to talk about
dead.
Muggs' food diary. Muggs eats badly.
You don't know how badly Muggs eats.
I don't.
I mean, we thought we knew, but
I think Muggs eats great. By the way,
we started.
I aspire to be Muggs.
We started this on this past Thursday, and he kept track of everything he ate between Thursday and then yesterday.
Yeah,
and then he sent it to Lisa, and then Lisa was going to figure out all of the fat content and the, you know, everything. And so we're gonna get to that.
He's going to die.
He's going to die soon,
and maybe this year,
maybe today.
Well,
but
could
think
be today.
About how happy he's going to be when he dies, though.
True.
I don't know. You'll be happy because of Bean's Death Corner. Could throw that in there.
Oh, it's a good one today, too.
We also have today. And we have Bill Burr, comedian Bill Burr.
Oh, he's great.
He's funny as hell, so we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman is here with our first look. Hello. What happened there?
Nothing, Lisa.
Lisa just fell off her chair. I think she was owling. I think she was owling, and she fell off her chair.
What is owling?
What?
What is owling?
Oh, Bean, you're so 10 minutes ago.
I know I am. I am. I'm
first,
not the
all the kids were planking.
Edge.
Right.
Right.
Then they were coning.
Correct.
Right.
Now they're owling.
Owling.
Yes.
Okay.
All the kids
Tell
are doing
that.
It.
So how does that work?
You perch on something.
It looked like an owl. That's right. Basically it.
And then you take a photo of yourself and then you post it on the internet.
I like
okay.
it. I like
so
it.
So everyone can see you like perched on top of your desk at work or, you know, on a railing outside your school or whatever. You just perch and you open your eyes real wide like you're an owl. And then you take a photo of that and you put it up on the internet, and then that's what they call owling.
Do you think people are busy enough with their lives?
I think you're assuming they have lives, and that's your first mistake.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Owling.
Oh. Owling,
is
everyone.
Is the King of Mexico going to do that now? Is he
of course
make
he is.
All of us do it?
Okay. You know, Dave does whatever everyone's doing on the internet,
yeah.
including congratulating losers of soccer games.
Oh.
Dave, what Dave is going to do is tweet that he is owling when, in fact, he is not owling. That's what
correct.
He's
going to
do.
Yeah, he's a liar. Yeah.
I predict the next big craze is going to be something called owl punching. Where I will go around and see if I see anyone perched on anything, I will promptly just punch them right in the throat.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
all right,
the
Lisa,
picture
that's,
of that.
That's what you should say is, yeah, you were owling. You were just being hip.
Absolutely.
You weren't just being clumsy. All right. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week on the Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
We don't do a lot of financial news in the Showbiz Beat, frankly, because it's called the Showbiz Beat, not the financial beat.
Right.
However, sad news in the world economy this morning. Apparently, there is no more money in the world because it has all gone to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Is that right?
All of the money in the world is now there. Just, all been spent on tickets for that movie.
What did it make?
So if you look in your wallet this morning and you realize you have no cash, it's because it all went to Harry Potter.
See if Kevin can guess how much it made.
See if you can guess, Kevin, what it made.
What.
Let's play Lick Kevin. See if you can guess what it made in its opening weekend. And I'll give you a hint by saying it is now the biggest box office opening in the history of motion pictures.
Wow. Well, I know that 120 to 150 is just outrageous. Good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 175.
A little high, but...
A little high, okay.
$168.6 million in its opening weekend. That makes it, as I mentioned, number one in the record books. Biggest opening weekend ever in North America, topping last year's Twilight sequel, which pulled in about $143 million. And The Dark Knight, which was the previous record holder, made $158 million in its opening weekend.
That's crazy.
So this beat it by $10 million. Other records... Friday's take alone, including the midnight shows, was $92 million.
In one day.
One day. Also a record.
Wow.
Deathly Hallows Part 2. Not to drive home this point too finely, but took in more money than the four previous seven Harry Potter films did over their entire opening weekends. In one day.
No kidding.
That Friday total is more than the entire opening weekends of four of the other films.
Wow.
So needless to say, people were looking forward to this film.
So a sequel, yeah. I'm sure. There's, you know, anytime it's success, anytime there's that kind of success, they start planning a sequel.
Maybe a prequel. Let's follow Harry's parents. Let's follow them around before he was
like
born
it.
See what happened. Transformers, Dark of the Moon was number two. Horrible Bosses was third. Then Zookeeper and Cars. Winnie the Pooh, in its debut, made $8 million. Bad Teacher, Larry Crown, Super 8, and Midnight in Paris, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Nick Lachey and Vanessa Minnillo. They got married this weekend at an intimate clifftop ceremony on Necker Island.
Oh, Necker Island.
Necker. What did you say?
Necker Island.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you said Necker. I was worried. I thought we were getting a phone call.
No. How dare you?
It's a private island owned by Sir Richard Branson in the British Virgin Islands. It was just an intimate, tiny little ceremony. Just Vanessa and Nick and some family. Oh, that's right. And the film crew from TLC, which were filming the entire wedding for a television special we'll all get to watch.
Sure.
Hasn't he learned anything about televising his marriages?
That's a good point.
Nick Lachey?
I don't know that was his fault, though. She was flawed from the beginning.
Yes, but I certainly wouldn't have put it on television.
Yeah.
Couldn't have helped.
No, it doesn't help. That's true.
You know, if he hadn't put it on television, every guy would have been so jealous that he was married to Jessica Simpson. But as soon as we saw it, we went, oh, thank God, that's not me.
Yeah, we did celebrate his divorce more than his wedding, that's for sure. Looks like former Pussycat Doll turned X-Factor judge Nicole Scherzinger is ready to settle down herself. She's been dating Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton, and they are engaged. Congratulations. He's 26, by the way. She's 33.
Oh.
Yeah. Go, Nicole. Cougar in training. More relationship news. I'm sure everyone's heard now. It was big news over the weekend. Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony are splitting up after 7 years of marriage. Those liars. Those liars who pretended to be so crazy in love with each other during American Idol. Oh, let me dance all over you, Anthony. Oh, you're so sexy. Oh, Jennifer, you are so swarthy. I love you. Meanwhile, they're going home and throwing ashtrays at each other. That's liars!
You know, I was thinking about this. How old is Jennifer Lopez? Rob, she's got to be upper 30s, maybe?
I don't have her age here, Urbino, but...
Mid-30s?
Guess mid. Yeah.
All right, maybe. So let's say she's 35 years old.
Okay.
She's now been divorced 3 times.
Yes.
At 35 years old.
Yes.
Right. Is there something wrong with her at this point? Can we draw that conclusion yet?
Well, the first time, she married a waiter. Second time, she married a backup dancer. Third time, she married an international singing star. I think she's just working her way up the ladder, that's all.
Who's
you gotta next? You gotta walk before you can run, my friends. You gotta crawl before
right.
you can
How
walk.
How many more does she need before she's good at it?
Well, you gotta go now from Jennifer Lopez is 41, by the way. We're getting the information.
Oh, wow.
Now.
Okay.
41. Okay. Yes. She looks good.
Wow. No kidding.
So she's gone to international singer.
Okay.
Next step, I think, is a potentate or some sort of world leader.
Okay.
And then Pope. And then she's gotta marry the Pope. That's the next move.
Okay.
That's gonna be a tough one.
Maybe she's shooting for the Elizabeth Taylor record. Maybe she's trying to go down in history.
She should just marry Larry King and be done with it.
That's true. And more tragic relationship news. Poor Elin Nordegren, ex-wife of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so hot.
She is way hot. She's got a new boyfriend.
Poor boyfriend.
A guy named Jamie Dingham. Dingman, rather. I'm sorry. He is a super rich dude.
Of course.
Of course. Because she likes him rich.
She's a super rich chick, too.
That's right. Here's the problem, and I guess it's not a problem. She must have known about this, but news is now coming out that Jamie Dingman has something in common with her ex, Tiger Woods. Apparently, he, too, used to date Rachel Yucatel.
Yeah. No kidding.
What are the chances?
It gets better. They were living together, Jamie and Rachel, when Rachel was cheating on Jamie with Tiger Woods.
Did she know this before she started dating him?
She had to have, right? This has got to be just a big revenge F for the both of them, I'm guessing.
It just can't be
coincidence.
On accident.
Coincidence.
Just, there's no way.
I don't know why you would invite that sort of drama into your life, though, if you knew that situation. No. If you're Elin Nordegren and you meet this guy and he says, oh, yeah, you know, I was dating Rachel, you could tell when she was banging your husband.
Right.
I say, well, very nice to meet you. We have that in common. Thanks for the drink. And you turn around and you walk away, right?
See you later.
You don't start dating the dude.
Wow, that's weird.
No.
Yeah, that's just creepy on so many levels. Today's celebrity birthday.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I was just going to mention briefly, I don't know how much it relates, but it always struck me as very odd. My father-in-law is married to the first cousin of his former wife. And I always thought...
Oh, time.
Even that is awkward, right?
I gotta get myself a pie chart here. Hold on a second. I need a bar graph. Your father-in-law...
Yes.
So your wife's father...
Yes.
...is married to...
Mm-hmm.
...the cousin
his
of...
His cousin? No, whose cousin?
I don't know.
No. My father-in-law's wife...
Right.
...is a first cousin to my father-in-law's previous wife.
Oh...
So he married
a
woman
cousins,
and her first cousin.
Yes, he married cousins, exactly. Yeah. So they see each other all the time. They're all in the same family. Even when he got a divorce and married the new woman, they're all still married into the same family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just struck me as, I mean, just like you were talking about, you don't want everything in common.
He must have met her while he was dating married to the first woman several
times. Yes, he did.
Several times. That must have been his introduction to that woman.
Yep,
right. We should have your cousin over more.
She's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, you should get closer to her, that's all.
People do weird things when it comes to their genitals, don't they?
That's way weird.
They do. But I mean, I guess this doesn't explain the Elin thing because she's got the whole world to choose from, but many people, my father-in-law being one, you have a small circle of acquaintances and you marry within the group of the people that you know. And I guess the people he knew were her family.
that isn't good for you.
No, it's not good for anybody.
I don't think Cousins, though. We've done that topic before, and it's creepy.
In a related story,
it seems a little.
This week, also, it was discovered, and this is after the fact, so you know it's not. You can't blame them, but you know Kevin Bacon and his wife Kira Sedgwick,
right?
Talented actress, star of The Closer. She did a background, a genealogy tree background into her family,
right?
And it turns out that she and her husband Kevin Bacon are cousins, but like 10 times removed. You know what I mean? They're very distant cousins.
That's
but
weird
they're actually
too.
Related. So you're married to this guy for 20 years or whatever, and then you find out that you're actually related.
Huh.
Isn't that odd?
That's bizarre.
That's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Right? Today's celebrity birthday is James Brolin. You may know him better as Mr. Barbra Streisand. He is 71 years old today. Talk show host Wendy Williams, the only woman I've ever seen that's a worse dancer than Mike Catherwood.
Wow.
I could back you on that.
She's 47 years old. Actor Vin Diesel's 44. Rapper M.I.A. turns 36 years old. Kristen Bell. Oh, I love Kristen Bell. She never talked to me after my salt and pepper shakers.
He drove her away.
He did. 31 years old today. An actor, Chase Crawford. Chase Crawford, Private Eye. He's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, Ralph was reporting a few moments ago that the Harry Potter franchise is certainly going out with a bang. 7 books, all enormous bestsellers, millions of copies each. Now 8 movies, all huge hits, including the biggest opening weekend in Hollywood history. It's just it's just incredible how many people went to see that movie this weekend. Like we were talking about, $90-something million just on Friday.
Anyone here see it besides me?
No.
No?
Bean?
Mm-hmm. Bean didn't
nope.
go see it.
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, it's the,
I'm way
planning
behind.
To. I was just out of town.
Was it really good?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was really great, yeah. It was a good ending. I love the movies. I never read the books, but I love the movies. And even though Bean spoiled it for me, what are you going to do?
How dare you?
You know what I mean?
We were asking in the office on Friday, what Harry Potter will do now? I mean, now that the books are done, the movies are done, what's going to happen to this kid? You know, you think he's had an amazing life, and I won't give anything more away to say what he accomplished in the final film, but we asked producer Alex if she could line up Harry Potter for us, and I believe we have him on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is this Harry?
Hey, how's it going?
Fine. How are you?
We're looking for Harry Potter. Potter
yeah,
is who we're
is
trying
Harry
to find.
Potter. This is Harry Potter. Now, I'm watching the telly. I'm busy watching television, and you call me, and then you start all this then.
Well, we just want to make sure we're talking to the right person.
Yeah, this is Harry Potter.
Okay, Harry Potter.
You just sound different from the way we are familiar with seeing you in the movies.
Well,
that's
don't judge everything on books and movies then, all right?
Okay.
Because that J.K. wrote about me when I was a boy.
Okay.
And then the movies, you know, they did what they did. But you know, I'm in real life. I'm much older.
I see. All right.
And those days are behind me, you know.
How old a guy are you now, Harry?
I'm now 58.
58? I wouldn't have expected that at all.
Like I said, those books were written about me a long time ago when I was a young man. And now I'm older and I'm busy, and I'm talking to geezers like you, calling me up on the phone, bothering me.
All right, if we weren't doing that, if you weren't talking to us, what would you be doing?
Hold on, I got to change the channel. Change it, because...
No.
Really?
You use your magic to change the channel? Why don't you just get a remote control?
Why would I get a remote control when I have all this magic in my wand?
Good point.
That's right, okay. It's a good point. It's an excellent bloody point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing anything else with your magic? I mean, are you still fighting evil and trying to help people?
Beericus.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I'm watching Tally drinking beer.
Well, nice. That's not a bad way to live either.
No, because look, let's face it. When you've accomplished what I've accomplished
sure.
when you're a kid, it's all downhill after that.
Yeah, where are you going to go from there?
It's like being a child star.
Yeah.
Only instead of heroin, I turned to television.
Yeah.
And now I just sit here. And frankly, I can't move.
That doesn't sound... Why can't you move?
You can't move.
Well, I do weigh 700 pounds.
Oh,
that was
quick. That's the problem when you can have anything you want.
Yeah.
Donuts.
Yeah. Just got donuts, just like that.
That's right. Look, I got a stack of donuts now. What
Sweet.
Do you have? Nothing. That's what you have.
Nothing.
That's
true.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And you have all the money in the world, too. You're filthy, insanely crazy rich, right?
Not as much as the J.K. Rowling, though.
No.
That much.
No.
I should have had my lawyer take a better look at that contract.
Is that well, she wrote it, I mean, for God's sake.
It was my life, wasn't it? You know, you write, you send your rights to your life, you think you get a little taste of it, a little something. But she's the one who's making all the money.
I see.
Luckily, I can always go, Kashikas. Yeah, now I got a big stack of money.
Nice.
So that's all right then.
Listen, this is Harry Potter on the phone here at the Kevin and Bean Show. I hope this isn't an awkward question, but whatever happened to Hermione? Because she's unbelievably hot now in the final move.
Oh, bitch.
I was afraid this is
that
was going to happen.
Bitchicus.
Oh, no.
Her and Ron, they never called, they never write. They ran off, got married. They went off, got married, those two.
She ran off with the ginger, Ron.
Yeah. But it's all right, because they split up a couple years after that.
Oh, they did? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, she caught Ron cheating on her with an owl.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which is a hard thing to walk in on.
You don't really want to see
that. You watch your husband sharing your marital bed with an owl.
Yeah.
I don't even want to picture that
at
all.
You see that bitch going, ooh. You're never going to get that out of your memory bank.
No.
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
That's true. That is the world-famous K-Rock on a brand-new song from Red Hot Chili Peppers. It is 624.
I like that new Red Hot Chili Peppers song, by the way. I don't, as is always the case with their songs, I have no idea what The Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie means, and I doubt even if I paid even closer attention to the lyrics, I still wouldn't understand what it means.
You could ask but, him, and you wouldn't know.
The answer would involve some sort of wag-a-long a ding dong. That's all I know. Anyway, the album again in stores on August 30th. It's going to be called I'm With You, brand new Chili Peppers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, speaking of music.
What's that for?
What's going on?
Who died?
Well, I mean, we're going to be playing this for Beer Mug sometime within the next 7 days. So I figured why not just get a head start.
Sure.
Beer Mug was 28 and looked 50. Now maybe we know why.
Come on. Beer mug,
Kevin, how did this idea come to you that we needed to start monitoring Beer Mug's caloric intake?
Well, here's what happens. Every morning, at some point, we have a food run. And so somebody goes and gets food, and then they bring it back for everybody. And then Mugs orders like three things, and then he eats it all. And then he starts eyeing everybody else's food. So if Lisa's not quite done, like he'll look over at her. And if I have one French fry still, he'll just start looking over there. Yes, Mugs, you can have it. And he just keeps eating his way through the entire place. And my theory is that he doesn't eat anything outside of the radio station.
And he has kind of said on occasion that this is where he eats.
So he must just gorge himself when he's here. But right. then...
So he's like those poor kids who go to school, and if it weren't for the school hot lunch program,
yes.
they wouldn't have any food all day long. So they've just got to load up when they can get it.
Well, that's what I thought. That was my original idea. But then what we asked Muggs to do is to keep track of exactly what he ate. And the list is shocking. Like, I eat horribly. But compared to you, I'm a genius when it comes
You're
to my
Jack
diet.
You're Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
God. Now, Lisa, you've done a lot of experiments and reading up on diets over the years. Isn't the one thing that a lot of people say is the most eye-opening thing you can do is to actually, physically, and religiously write down everything that you eat? Because most people would be shocked at how much they snack throughout the day. They think of the meals they eat, but they forget all the stuff they eat in between, right?
Yeah, that's true. A food diary they always recommend.
Okay.
Because you really just, the little snick snack stuff adds up fast and you don't realize that you're doing that.
So we had Muggs do that from Thursday on.
There's no snick snack stuff here.
I don't even know the word snick snack.
Look, there's no little cookie.
Before you guys read the list, I want to let you know that... I am taking advantage of my metabolism right now because in 2 years, it ain't going to be like this.
So you kind of have the DNA that you can kind of do this without being 600 pounds.
Right. I'll gain a little around the waist area. You know, I'll get the side saddles and the tire. But other than that, I'm ripped. Right, I'm shredded.
Yeah, you're not.
Isn't that where the ripped and shredded happens?
Yeah.
So you're splurging in your 20s because you know that this is the time to do it because soon you won't be able to. I understand. All right.
No, but
so let's start.
Is his plan to be obese later or cut back on what he eats?
No, he'll be okay. So Thursday, he ate 4 Jack in the Box tacos, no cheese, 1 spicy Jack chicken sandwich, 20 buffalo wings. That was on Thursday.
That was it for the whole day.
Oh, really? You didn't eat anything else?
That was my light day.
So you were done by like noon then? Your food was done by like noon, right?
No, I was done about 4 p.m. I had the wings around, 3, but then I went to bed early, so I just, I didn't eat.
But he ate the bones as well with the wings. So.
but the two Jack in the Box, read the Jack in the Box items again from Thursday morning.
4 Jack in the Box tacos, no cheese. 1 spicy Jack chicken sandwich. crushed.
That's a huge amount of food to eat in one sitting. That's what he ordered for breakfast that day.
Yeah.
Now, Lisa's going to tell us the caloric number in a minute. Okay. But on Friday, 1-foot-long meatball sub from Subway, 2 lobster sandwiches from the lobster truck, a 6-inch turkey sub from Subway, 1 nectarine, or a nectarine, as he calls it, 1 large Wendy's chili, 10 Wendy's chicken nuggets, 1 Wendy's deluxe hamburger, Hawaiian barbecue beef bowl from Aloha Friday's food truck, 1 spam mousse. What is this?
Musubi.
Musubi, which is basically spam on rice wrapped in seaweed.
Spam sushi.
Yeah. 11 Bud Lights, 2 shots of Jack Daniels, 1 shot of Patron.
Got to get down on Friday. You know what I'm saying?
So that was his Friday. That was only Friday.
That is shocking. And the through line here that I'm noticing with Beer Mug is that every time he eats a meal, he eats 2 entrees. He doesn't one thing that would most of us would say that's the meal. He gets 2 of those.
Saturday, 3 regular Del Tacos, 1 Del Taco Spicy Jack Chicken Quesadilla, 1 Del Taco Bean and Cheese Cup, 6 Buffalo Wings, 1 Philly Cheesesteak. It goes on and on forever. I mean, the guy eats enough for like 7 people.
Unbelievable. And Lisa, is the nectarine the only fruit that made the list?
The only fruit. There's no vegetables in here.
There's
really,
no vegetables at all. Like none of these meals, because it's all fast food,
no
I guess.
Time
so none of these
vegetables.
Meals are going to have corn or peas or anything like that. Do you ever eat at home? Do you ever eat at home, Muggs?
I more or less raid the fridge at home. I don't really prepare anything for myself.
And yesterday,
so you're fast food guy all the time.
Yeah, it's convenient.
1 salami sandwich with barbecue sauce on rye bread, which he created.
Yeah, that's a Mug creation.
Sounds terrible. Yes. 2 backyard barbecue cheeseburgers, 2 backyard barbecue hot dogs, 1 personal size bag of Ruffles molten hot wing chips.
Best.
Oh, never even heard of them.
2 Red Vine licorice sticks and 5 Bud Lights. So that's what he ate between Thursday and Sunday, yesterday. Now, Lisa, what information do you have?
Yeah, I broke this down by day. Okay, so Thursday wasn't bad. In terms of calories, he had 2,310 calories.
How much are you supposed to have per day?
2,000.
Yeah, about 2,000.
2,000, okay.
Well, that's not bad at all then.
No, he was okay. 134 grams of fat. That's kind of high.
Oh, my God.
How many of those are you supposed to have?
I don't maybe.
You're supposed to have
30?
A low-fat diet, yeah.
Okay.
And the sodium is what killed me. 8,480 grams of sodium. That is 444% of your recommended daily allowance.
Wow.
Sweet.
That's where the death is going to happen.
444%.
Yeah.
All right. And then
Was Friday. Thursday. Friday, 5,186 calories.
Oh, my God.
Sweet. Good. Hey, hey, Muggs, are you training for any kind of an upcoming athletic event? Could that be your excuse?
That's so funny. It's called overeating.
Fat was 171 grams.
Oh,
yeah.
If you count carbs, 442 grams of carbs.
Okay, good.
Oh, my God.
Sodium, 9,000 grams of sodium.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
I checked protein. It's 224 grams of protein because he's in training.
All right, we're
right, of course. Yeah,
we're running late. Do you have totals? Yep. Do you have totals?
I didn't do the totals. Okay. No. But I'll just tell you, Saturday was 4,400 calories.
Okay.
And then Sunday, he went back down to 2,400 calories.
Got to rest for the
week.
But
he's still at 91 grams of fat.
Well, so more days like Thursday and Sunday, and Muggs would probably be okay, right?
More or less, yeah. He'd still die, but
he'd be later. He'd die thinner.
He'd die like 4 months from now instead of 2 weeks.
But you guys, I had a nectarine.
You did. That's
you
true.
Did have a nectarine. By the way, I fully expected Kevin to come in late today and blame Carmageddon and just assume that it had happened.
How dare you?
I really thought that was going to happen. I thought you'd show up around an hour after the show started and go, guys, it's not my fault. Seriously, did you see the freeways
out
there?
How dare you?
And then we have to break the bad news to you. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Funny man Bill Burr in minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on the way. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro Line is on the air. 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about today?
Well, we ask you to be specific, but sometimes you just can't. Sometimes it's the overall problem.
Oh, my God, Bean, you make me want to vomit.
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know.
But I think just in general... Or maybe it's about the blood clot. I don't know that he was talking about me.
Seriously, are you still talking about your damn blood clot? No one cares if you have a blood clot, if you have a heart attack, if you have a stroke, if you're dead.
So shut up and end this blood clot madness.
See? All right, this is what I found out from my near-death experience last week. For folks who weren't with us, I had a very serious sports injury. It's a miracle that I even survived. And then I thought I was going to die.
And by sports injury, you mean laying in bed.
How it happened is not important right now. But what I've noticed is the two things, there's only two responses from people. Either people who were sick of me talking about it because I was afraid I was going to die, and people who were disappointed that I didn't die.
Yeah.
Those are the only people.
Those are two groups. Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah.
Clot.
I think that guy everybody was rooting for the clot.
Yeah, there was. He was rooting. That's what's going on there.
Stop giving away freaking soccer tickets. Nobody cares, assholes.
Now they're just throwing giveaways back at us.
He doesn't have to call. No one's forcing him to call for him.
People are now. This is how much this show is hated these days.
Come on,
we are so despised that people are hating on us for giving free stuff away.
Remember last week we were talking to Muggs about his girlfriend working her way through Spain,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how she was having sex with at least one guy every day that she didn't know, mm-hmm. and Muggs was like. No, she told me she wasn't.
Hey, Bear Mug, it's Mark. I'm on a trip with your girl in Europe. Yeah, I just wanted to apologize in advance for the syphilis, but you already expected this, right? So we're cool?
Come on! Hey, that was very gentlemanly of him to even bring that up.
You didn't have to call and warn you.
Hey, Bear Mug, do you know what your girlfriend and job applications have in common? They're both getting feverishly filled out by desperate men all over the world right now.
Oh, my.
See, he does? Oh. This guy will not let the fact that Adele, who has two great albums, mm-hmm. is fat.
Right.
And she is, and we do make jokes like that. But
and by the way, let's temper the remarks. She's not fat. She's bigger than most pop stars, that's for sure. She's got to be, what, about a size, I don't know, maybe a size 16, Lisa, you think?
Yeah, 14.
She's hardly a tub. She's a very pretty girl,
Adele's
too.
Adele's hunger for pop music stardom knows no bottom. She is absolutely dining on her buffet of success after the release of her album, which is still in the top 10. She is eating up the charts. She's fat. She's ungodly fat.
I don't know that I'd go with ungodly fat.
No.
I mean, she's not Carney Wilson fat. Come on.
Carmageddon was supposed to happen this past weekend.
Kevin and Bean, it's carnage out here. I am driving on the 101 freeway going to Carmageddon, and there's overturned vehicles. Cars are on fire. It's 11:37 on Friday. No, it's not. It's just there's no traffic at all. No traffic at all. These news reporters are ass clowns. It's just traffic, people.
Or not.
Or lack of traffic.
None.
I don't know how much of the coverage you guys watched over the weekend. I had very little interest. But I understand that there were lots of people, lots of reporters on the scene standing around with their thumbs up their butts,
yeah.
really kind of disappointed that it hadn't turned into some sort of national tragedy.
Yeah, they wanted it to be a disaster so that they could report on it. They were all set.
Oh, yeah. Right. They had traffic reporters were working through the weekend. They had helicopters up.
For those
thing.
Of you that don't know the story, they closed one of the main freeways and for 2 days, and they expected it just to be hell on earth. And everybody just said, all right, we'll just stay away. Right. And then there
and
was no problem.
Now people are saying, let's close that freeway once a month, just so we have a fantastic weekend of traffic for
no Jay. Kidding. It was really great.
Yeah.
To have everybody stay home. Bean, you have that Oreo commercial that we played talking about the replacement for Shut the F Up?
Yes, very controversial new spot from Oreo. There's actually a boycott planned against the Nabisco company because of the filthy, filthy language at the end of this commercial. Listen up.
Whoa.
Right?
Get out.
Exactly.
Really?
What?
Shut the front door.
That was her reaction to tasting their new Oreo cookie.
Shut the front door.
And you can't put language like that on TV. Think of the children, Kevin.
Any mothers out there that have a problem with shut the front door, they can shut the f*** up.
Kevin and Bean, I appreciate the warning to give about children listening to your program, but that vile language on the podcast has no warning whatsoever.
Shut the front door!
And I really need you to put more warnings on before my son hears and repeats these vile words over and over again.
Shut the front door!
We apologize, sir.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph is here. Another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening, Ralph?
I need to update the Harry Potter news we were talking about last hour. We talked about the fact that Harry Potter set a couple records this weekend. Most money ever made on a Friday release of a film with over $92 million just on Friday. Mm-hmm. For the weekend, Harry Potter took in $168.6 million, making it the biggest opening weekend for a movie ever. What I neglected to mention is that worldwide...
Well, that was just America.
Yes. Worldwide, Harry Potter has pulled in $500 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
$500 million just so far.
Now, Ralph, aren't there maybe a dozen movies, maybe fewer, that have ever even made $1 billion? And this one looks like it'll make it in like 2 weeks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Madness. Madness, I say.
It makes sense only in that the buildup was the books were so popular. You know, and then the movies were so popular. I mean, it's been building up to this finale for a long time. It was a great movie. I loved it.
$500 million.
I know.
Yeah.
Transformers Dark of the Moon, $21.3 million at number two at the box office this weekend. Horrible Bosses was third with $17.6 million. Then Zookeeper and Cars 2 running out the top five. Winnie the Pooh in its debut made $8 million. Bad Teacher, Larry Crown, Super 8, and Midnight in Paris are the rest of the top 10 of the box office this weekend. Lamar Odom and his wife Khloe Kardashian apparently had an accident this weekend in Queens, New York. Lamar was reportedly going to visit a barbershop in his old neighborhood, and they were driving around when they smashed into a motorcycle.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, neither Lamar or Khloe were injured, but the motorcyclist had to be taken to the hospital. Apparently, it wasn't the crash that hurt him, but when Khloe got out of the car, she stepped on him. Crushing him beneath her giant paw.
Just pause?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you take off those Manolo Blancs, you just see just a hoof.
I realize that.
Hoof, paw.
Paw.
Hoof. Brooke Mueller, Charlie Sheen's ex-wife, she had a rough go of it this weekend. She was trying to get to Mexico, but she didn't make it past the tarmac. She was on the flight, and she said she felt nauseous and tried to use the restroom before the plane left, but the flight attendant wouldn't let her get out of her seat.
Right.
Well, Brooke lost her S, apparently became unglued, letting out a few choice words, and demanded to be let off the plane. Passengers say she was escorted off the aircraft. Now, here's the thing. She wasn't going to Mexico to vacation. Apparently, she's headed to a treatment facility, a rehab in Mexico. Heading there because they prescribe something called Ibogaine.
What's that?
It is a drug that some studies show can interrupt your addiction to alcohol or cocaine or methadone or heroin, whatever you got. But it's not legal to use in the States. However, they are using it in treatment facilities south of the border. And that's where she was headed, apparently, to try to get the monkey off her back.
That's what I love about Mexico, by the way, is anything goes with prescriptions.
Hey, yeah. What do you have there? What is that, Ibogaine? Sure, we'll shoot that up in you.
Right. Are we positive? Are we positive it wasn't
the fear? I don't think she had the fear.
Okay. No.
They don't worry about trials and testing or any of that messy stuff that the U.S. government insists on. That's what's awesome about them.
Lots of TV news to talk about this morning. Sci-Fi Network has picked up their drama Merlin for another season. I don't know if you guys are watching Merlin now, but it's real good.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Rookie Blue with our friend Missy Peregrine.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's also been renewed for a third season.
Like that one?
It's doing real well this summer. I guess it's going to be their summer show because they keep bringing it back every summer. So you got that going for you. On Glee, you may remember Idina Menzel. She played Rachel's mom on Glee. She was the coach of the opposing Glee Club, whatever they were going up against. She's coming back to the show. Apparently she was going to be a new teacher at McKinley High, so she's joined the cast full time. And she was banging Will Schuster there for a while, so I wonder if the sparks are going to fly again. And TNT is out there canceling Men of a Certain Age, the TV show with Ray Romano, Andre Brower, and Scott Bakula. Well, it's an an audible gasp from Lisa when we told
that.
That
was a good show.
Got back
you hadn't
on
heard
board
Lisa?
And loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a aww really, really good show.
I
poured one out for you, Lisa, when I heard it.
Oh, now I'm a failure. Now I'm going to kill myself. Oh, my other show ran so long. This one, not so much.
That is no reflection on the quality of the program, though, I'll tell you that.
No, sadly, really TNT good says it is.
Do they?
Yeah. They said it's
no,
completely a reflection of the
not
quality of the program. They said, we're sorry we put on this piece of S, and we apologize
to TV viewers
everywhere.
And wasn't Andre Brower nominated for an Emmy? Or?
He was, yeah. Kevin.
Yes. And deservedly so.
No.
Remember we had people leave call it in and try to do their impressions of Ray Romano?
Yeah, they were terrible.
I don't sound like that.
The worst.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor James Brolin is 71 years old today. Talk show host Wendy Williams celebrates her 47th birthday. Vin Diesel is 44. Rapper M.I.A. is 36 years old. Kristen Bell celebrates her 31st birthday. Darren Malakian of System of a Down and Scars on Broadway. He's 36 years old. That was awful.
Yeah.
That was the worst one ever.
That wasn't good.
No. And Chase Crawford is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. On the way, we've got, what's the, Ken Block is going to be here talking about the Gymkhana, and you're competing this year? Is that what I hear? You're
I would love to.
Somehow?
Have you watched that? It's unbelievable. Yeah.
No, it's pretty insane the things that you can do with a car. That's
just
for sure.
Craziness. I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to do that. What he does, I want to do that.
Well, maybe you could talk him into, you sweet talk him into giving you a ride along or something like that.
I don't want to ride along. I want to be the driver.
Well,
man.
But you know what I mean. That would be as close as you'd probably
nope
get to the
action. How dare you? I could gymkhana him with the best of them.
Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is on the way, and Ralph has unbelievable giveaways coming up on today's Kevin Bean Show. If you stick around for the Showbiz Beat, he's going to be hooking you up with Cowboys and Aliens tickets. Also, passes to the Showtime panel of Dexter at Comic-Con, where we're going to be at the end of this week. Now, what's the word on Mr. Bill Burr? Are we going to have Bill?
I don't think we're getting a word on him. Supposed to have him here, but they're having trouble getting hold of him. This might be a good time to apologize to America, though, on behalf of Dave, the King of Mexico.
I mean, well,
don't you think?
I think you should consider taking away his privileges.
I mean, perhaps we should get him to stop tweeting, A, but B, kill him.
Should we bring Dave in and go through the timeline of how he is somehow responsible for the U.S. losing the Women's World Cup yesterday?
Now, I understand that not everybody's into soccer. It's a tough sell. Trust me. I'm out there. I'm trying to push it. I love it. And I always tell people to watch it. And then everybody comes back at me with a lot of hate.
Right.
So it's a tough road to be on. But the World Cup was so great, and the women were so much more exciting than the men, by the way. And yesterday they played Japan in the final. Now, here's what happened. I wasn't following Twitter while watching the game, but apparently Dave lost the game for America. It was Dave's fault. And we'd like
in other words, it was in the bag for the USA women. They were about to win the World Cup. And then something Dave did.
Correct.
Screwed with the ether.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, they lose.
Correct.
On penalty kicks.
So what happened? Dave, is that? I turned on that mic. Say it again.
Hi.
Oh, not working.
Nope.
Oh, weird. Go over to that one. Yeah.
Hi. There
okay. The America takes the lead. Then Japan ties it. Then it goes into overtime. Then America scores. And then Dave. There's still plenty of time, by the way. Tweets, congratulations to the American women for winning the World Cup.
Awesome.
Now, game not over yet. Hey, what a surprise. Japan comes back and scores, ties it up late in overtime, just barely. And then they win in a shootout, and Japan wins the World Cup and not the U.S., which is what Dave tweeted. So Chip was telling me, our phone op, she was telling me that she went to look for his tweet and retweet it, and it had already been taken down. But Dave put up the tweet, and I'd like to suggest that Dave lost the World Cup for the U.S. women. I'd like to suggest he jinxed it.
I think that's a conclusion you could certainly draw. I mean, if you're on the Casey Anthony jury, this much evidence. Look, here's the thing. We've talked about this before on the show. There are lots of sports fans
And there are lots of sports fans who are superstitious and believe that the fans do have an impact. There's something, and it's hard to explain. I know it sounds like it's mumbo jumbo, but there are people who believe that the energy of the fans actually can impact the play on the game. Oh my God, the Giants would have won that game if only I'd worn my lucky hat. You know what I mean? The Eagles would have won that game if only I'd put the other quarterback's action figure in the freezer. Whatever it is, whatever your sport is, whatever your superstition is, there are people who very much believe that they are an impact. Now, the chances that Dave actually screwed up the World Cup?
100%.
Pretty low, I'm saying. Is it possible? These are big issues that I don't fully understand. Yeah, I'm going to say it's possible.
Here's how I find out about it. I went to Twitter and I saw all the hate
for you.
For me.
Why for you?
Because I tweeted him. I included him in the tweet. I was giving him props for supporting the girls.
Right. He included me, my Twitter. Right. And then everybody thought that I'm the one that put it up. And right. this is 4 hours later when I finally got to it. And all of these people were like, oh, how dare you? You ruined it. Blah, 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 blah. And so I was trying to figure out what happened. How could everybody get so mad at me when I wasn't doing anything?
You weren't even tweeting.
I do a lot of stuff for people to get mad about, but I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, it was your fault.
So I went back to try and figure out what happened. I couldn't find the tweet anywhere,
yeah.
Except for some people had retweeted it, and then they were yelling at me because it's right. Congratulations to the U.S. women.
Well, and Dave is usually the one who tweets on behalf of the Kevin and Bean Show.
It was the Kevin and Bean Show account. It wasn't my personal account.
At Kevin and Bean, right. So maybe time to revisit those privileges, first of all. But Dave, what was going through your mind when you turned on the TV finally, after you'd already proclaimed a winner, and saw that the game
wasn't over? I never turned on the TV. I was just checking the Twitter timeline, and everyone was tweeting, yeah, USA, USA, right, way to go.
Because it was really exciting. You know, it was overtime. We scored.
Yeah, go USA. Right. We're number one, blah, blah, blah. So I said, oh, they must have won. They must have won.
Hold on right there. That doesn't mean the game's over. There are a lot of people who tweet, I guess, during the game because they're excited. We scored in overtime. We have the lead. This is great. But there's still time on the clock.
But usually
you know what you don't do? You don't go on Twitter and say, hey, congratulations, it's over. You know why? Because you cursed us, my friend.
Listen, I'm not the one playing defense or allowing the goals. So...
But you are apparently the Japanese sympathizer, though.
That's right.
A sleeper cell, and you're trying to figure out a way to bring down America. I think that's obvious.
I think so, too. We need to put them in an internment camp. I'm pretty sure that needs to happen because people were calling for my head. They wanted me dead. I was like, what's
happening?
As they
should. Well, as they should.
I was just watching a soccer game, and now there's a fatwa on me. How did this happen?
You're the one who's bringing soccer to their attention, so you get them wrapped up in it, and now you let them down. Way to go, Kevin.
Way to go. Japan, by the way, it came out of nowhere. They were amazing. Thank God Japan won and no one else, because Japan really need a little good.
That's true. They need a little
A little good
so what's
news.
What's a little sympathy? Come on.
But I'm just saying, don't ever tweet using me, ever. And Bean, what do you think about the Kevin and Bean account? I mean, he's reckless. He's reckless. He's a reckless tweeter.
At the very least, a timeout.
Put him on a timeout. I would be interested to know if we have any listeners who have had similar experiences where they or somebody that they know are the person who jinxed the game and somehow it went horribly wrong because of something that person did. You know, one that's coming to mind right now, Kevin, I totally had forgotten about this until right now, is during I think it was the playoffs last year, maybe, or the run up to the playoffs. Maria Menounos, who you know I love, who's a correspondent for Access Hollywood. She is a diehard, hardcore Boston sports fan.
And
all the sports.
Diehard, hardcore, and annoying. Mm. Okay, go ahead.
Not even a little bit. I love her so much.
There are a lot of fans that aren't annoying that are fans of Boston.
She was tweeting during a New England Patriots game and did the fatal flaw, just like Dave, except she was watching the game and they had gone up late in the game. I don't remember which one it was. I think it might even have been the playoff game that eliminated them last year. But she's like, we've got this. I'm so excited. I can't believe we won this one.
That's it.
The whole deal like that. And then, oh my God, the firestorm against her when the other team ended up scoring. They ended up losing and being eliminated. She had to go underground for about a month with Boston sports fans because they look at her and they go, everything was going great. We had this thing in the bag until you had to go out and put it out there. Now it's your fault.
Dave.
Not my fault.
Not my fault.
So let's see if we can find some Kevin to Be listeners who have been in a similar situation. Either you or someone you know screwed up a sporting event by something that they did or something that they didn't do. They had a lucky superstition. They had a habit. They had something that they did every time up until they didn't.
Those women, they worked so hard. They worked their whole lives to get to that point, to that moment, and then Dave crushed their dreams.
And then you bring attention.
He just pulls it away from them. Dave just pulls it away from him.
Way to go, Kevin.
He steals victory from them.
Don't
right
try
at the
to
last
turn
second.
It on me. I think we're putting you on the Twitter timeout.
I think you're I'm in Twitter jail?
You're in Twitter jail.
Oh, crap.
You're not allowed. So we'll take your calls in a second. 1-800-520-106.
Ashley writes in to the Kevin and Bean Show. The Buffalo Wild Wings manager yesterday, where I was watching the game, offered $5 celebratory beers for the next 3 hours once the Women's USA World Cup soccer team scored in overtime. Well, then Japan scored, and we overheard him say to one of the other bartenders that he didn't actually know the rules to soccer, and he can't believe he offered up cheap beer for a loss. By the way, F the King of Mexico, he's the reason we lost.
That's
and
what
the
I'm
reason
saying.
Why I have a hangover today. Thanks a lot.
So the women's
Dave
world
committed a cardinal sin yesterday by jinxing the women's USA team, right?
Yeah, the World Cup was yesterday. It was the final. We were playing Japan. We were in overtime. We scored, and Dave, the King of Mexico, went on our Twitter, Kevin and Bean Twitter, and said congratulations to me personally, so that make sure everyone thought it was coming from me. And the U.S. went in and because they won, and then Japan came back and won. So Dave pretty much blew it. Is basically what we're saying.
Well done.
It's his fault.
So we're talking about how the fan can impact the game and sports superstitions that you either do or did not do the thing that you're supposed to do, and somehow you're responsible for the way the game turned out. Let's go to James first on line 7 because, I don't know, I still think Dave's on the hook for yesterday, but James says he might have had something to do with the women losing yesterday as well.
James?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
Good.
How did you lose the game?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and apologize first. Literally about 2 minutes before Japan scored and forced in the penalty kick, I made a Pearl Harbor joke.
Oh.
Why would you? What's the? Come on.
What's
Damn
the reason?
You.
That's still. That was,
yeah, it wasn't right.
What?
You know.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Now, were you watching the game with a bunch of people?
Actually, no. I was just watching it by myself, and I just said, I was like, you know.
Wait, you made a joke to yourself, or you just thought it?
No, I know. I tweeted.
Hey, James.
You tweeted it.
Okay.
Yeah. That upset the whole balance of the world right there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're to blame too then, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my bad.
Yeah.
And you don't want the women's coach to come beat you up because he is a bad mother effer.
He is. He's from that Swedish dude that coaches them. Is really looks.
Yeah, he's something else.
Imposing. See, because it's
Thank
a woman.
Call.
Lisa. But we
it
can't tell
exactly like
it,
Pete
sorry.
Carroll, though.
You
can't the
really
coach
tell.
Of the Seahawks.
It's very sad. All right, let's see.
Thank you for the call. Let's try William. William's on line 5. He joins us on the Kevin Beasley to talk about how he screwed up a game. Hey, William, welcome to the show. What happened?
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What'd you do?
So it was 2008, and it was the Colts versus San Diego Chargers in the playoffs.
Okay.
And I have this ritual where I eat a chip, and I take a sip of a beer, and I clap my hand, and I say the quarterback's name out loud and in my head. So
Wait. How did you come up with this plan of eating a chip and what?
You know what?
Drinking a beer?
As soon as I sit down and watch a game, I have a routine. And then the little things that I do affect the game, so I have to keep adding those little routines onto the game.
So you did or didn't do that, and then the Colts lost.
Basically, so Chargers are driving down the field, and then I'm stating Philip out loud, clap my hands, eat a chip, take a sip of a beer, and say Rivers in my head. I say, come on, drive down the field. Out of nowhere, I'm saying, don't throw an INT, don't throw an interception.
Yeah, in you my don't, head, I, don't ever say
head,
that.
No, in my head, I accidentally said, throw an interception. I looked over at my girlfriend, and she gives me this look like, what the F did you just do?
Yeah.
Philip Rivers throws an interception in the corner of the end zone, and the Colts take it back about 65 yards in for a touchdown.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Way to go, William. That's a lot of, by the way, that's a lot of pressure as a sports fan, you know?
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
To have the weight of the entire season on your shoulders, and if you don't eat a chip and drink a beer and clap your head, whatever the hell he was talking about, you know, you got to keep it up.
Let's talk to Omid. By the way, we've had some football calls. We've had some soccer calls. Here's a hockey game, and I think almost all of us were watching USA-Canada in the finals. This was, I think, the most recent Olympics. Is that right, Omid? Is that the game you're talking about?
Yeah, it was this recent Olympics, and I apologize. I just dropped the ball for America, or the puck, or whatever you want to call it. And it was just a bad thing. I opened my computer, and then all of a sudden, Canada came and scored. I was at work,
And I told myself, don't open the computer. You know what happens every time you open the computer. Your team loses. And last second, somebody called, and I had to open my computer, and it was a Canadian kid checking into our hostel.
Oh,
Weed?
Yes. I just want to double check. Every time you open your computer, whatever team you're rooting for loses?
Like, pretty much automatically. Like, even if there's time left on the clock, somehow my team figures out a way to lose anytime I open my laptop.
Okay, so the USA was doing fine, and then you opened your laptop.
Perfect. They were doing great. There was still time left, and then they did the Canada scored the golden goal, like, within 3 seconds after I opened my computer.
See,
after
people?
I told everybody, I'm not opening my computer. It's bad luck when I open my computer. And then this stupid Canadian kid called.
Yep. Oh, yes, the stupid Canadian kid that set you off. Guy from Canada. Well, maybe, of course he called
maybe
you because
he cared about. Maybe if you cared about your country a little more than you cared about doing business during the final game of the Olympic hockey championship, maybe then America would have won. You ever think about that?
I avoided like 18 phone calls that day during that game. And then I decided to pick up that one phone call and I had to open my computer.
Why you got to be communist? Why you got
to
be communist?
And now we have to work with the Canadians forever now. It's awful.
Yeah. All right, you're a bad person. I hope you get your passport taken away, man. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Big, big week for you, by the way, including Thursday, Ralph Garman is going to be at. And Friday, the whole Kevin and Bean Show is going to be at Comic-Con in San Diego.
We are going to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Wow. It's kind of embarrassing to think that Ralph is going to be following us around everywhere, trying to bask in the glow from the Kevin and Bean, Comic-Con fans that are going to be down there. Like when we're down there every single year, the group that we normally get together with, Ralph's going to be trying to get in on that group. But we'll just have to do what we can with him.
We've been telling him how cool it is for a long time. He just wouldn't listen.
I know. Mm-hmm. So. He's finally coming with us. Anyway, that's going to be Thursday and Friday with lots of special guests from Comic-Con in San Diego. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Bean, before you start, if you don't mind, let me just tell people. He really does love death, and he has, like, literally, like, he follows the pages of the New York Times. And
the New York Times obituaries,
and he has Google alerts.
Mm-hmm. Celebrity death alerts.
It's
weird.
Like, he's serious about love and death. So he likes to collect the stories and then tell us about them.
By the way, a lot of people are down with me on this. I get so much email from listeners who also enjoy death. And if you enjoyed today's Bean's Death Corner, you can, of course, find the all the additional information at kevinbean.com if you want to forward the stories to your friends. I think you'll like them very much, especially this guy. His name is Stephen Rooney, 54 years old. He's had his family's 4th of July barbecue family reunion that they have every year. And this is something they've been doing for 30 years, by the way. They got a big piece of property with a big tree outside that's about 3 stories tall, and that's the centerpiece of their festivities every year.
Yeah.
Well, a thunderstorm comes along, and the ones with common sense in the family all go inside. Stephen Rooney does not go inside. He stays outside to smoke a cigar. You can imagine where this story is headed,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, he is struck by lightning and killed. Unbelievably, just as his father had died 48 years ago.
What?
Not at the same event, but 48 years ago, his father was also struck and killed by lightning. The same thing that happened to his son last weekend. Not joking when I tell you that his last words were, as he was being beckoned into the house by other family members, "Don't worry about it. Lightning never strikes the same family twice."
Oh, my God.
Sweet. That's pretty sweet, now, actually.
I don't know why he thought lightning couldn't kill two people, but I guess the odds are so infinitesimal that one person would ever get struck by lightning. I mean, it's the odds are so remote. That's the example that we use when we're talking about remote things happening, is the odds of being struck by lightning. The fact that it would happen to two people in the same family, a father and son, it would kill them both, is pretty remarkable. But that's what makes it a great Bean's Death Corner story. Here's some sad news, Kevin. You know our friend Ben Bailey. He is the host of Cash Cab.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's a guy who drives the cab. They jump in the cab, and all of a sudden, they find themselves in a game show. They start answering trivia questions to win money, right?
If you answer wrong, they kick you out of the cab. You got to find another one.
Right, exactly. No confirmation yet whether Ben was behind the wheel or not, but TV's Cash Cab was in Vancouver, B.C. on Friday night. They had finished taping for the night, and the cab was going back to the storage yard when it hit and killed a pedestrian.
Oh!
Killed by the Cash Cab.
The cash cab has certainly giveth hundreds of dollars over the course of its run. Now it is, in fact, taking away. But that is bad news for the guy. And he didn't even get a he didn't even get the opportunity to play the game to try to save his life, by the way. At least before they ran him down, they could have said, okay, but can you answer this question about U.S. vice presidents and give him a chance to miss the car?
Wrong. We're going to run you over.
That didn't happen. That would be a that would be a very different game, and I think I might watch that game as well.
Sure.
Next up, Bean's Death Quarter. This is, you know, I was thinking about our old friend Adam Carolla used to tell us on the show that his brilliant idea, his million-dollar idea, was that he was going to start a service where if you died, he would come into your house and clean your place up before your parents got there, which I thought was a fantastic idea because, look, we all have stuff under the bed that we don't necessarily want our spouses and parents to find, right? So he would come in and just do a complete sweep so when they found you, you would be, you know, laying in the bed, fully clothed, reading the Bible. Well, that's the service that Sam Mazzola needed. He's an Ohio man who was found dead this weekend. Check this out. Face down on a waterbed. With a sex toy in his mouth, he had choked to death. He had a leather mask on that had the eyes and the mouth zipped shut, and he was handcuffed. His hands and his feet were chained to the floor.
Wait, wait, wait. Did someone else... Was this murder or was it suicide? Did he kill himself?
This was sex play gone wrong, Kevin. The 17-year-old boy who tied him up the night before and left came back in the morning for round two and found the man's body and called police to alert them.
That is not how you want to die.
You don't want to be ever found choked to death on a sex toy while you're chained to the floor. You just don't. And by the way, if you go to KevinAndBean.com, you have to read more about this crazy life that this guy had. This guy was actually in the news last year because a bear on his property killed a person. He was running a petting zoo on his property, this guy. So he was into a lot of weird stuff. He had bears and wolves and tigers and foxes and all sorts of things on his property. And now Mr. Mazzola is, in fact, dead. And this is perhaps the worst story of all of them. And I'm going to encourage you, if you have kids in the car, they're definitely not going to want to stick around for this one. Sean McDonald is his name. He's 57 years old. He met a woman, a 43-year-old woman, that he had come over for a date. And they met in a bestiality chat room on the internet. Now, I don't know how something like this exists. I don't know what gets into people's heads where they think this is a good idea. But apparently it's something that people are into. So she comes over, and they've got the bestiality in common, and he's got a German Shepherd. Now, he's being prosecuted under Irish legislation banning sex with animals. He's going to be the first person tried in Ireland for having sex with an animal. Oh, yeah, he's also going to be on trial for murder because the woman died after having sex with the Alsatian dog because she had an allergic reaction to the dog.
Come on.
Mother of four, dead, allergic reaction from having sex with a German Shepherd. Here's the best part of the whole story, and I have to thank our friends at KTLA-TV for including this in their story. The sex appeared to be consensual.
Oh, yeah, the dog was fine with it?
This has been Bean's Death Quarter.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
All right, there's good news and bad news, guys. The good news is that comedian Bill Burr, who was scheduled to be with us earlier in the hour, has been located and will be able to talk to us coming up after the top.
That's good news. Absolutely. Yeah, he'll do that.
Bad news is he couldn't answer the phone because he had a sex toy in his mouth and a ball gag, and he was chained to the floor, and he's wearing a leather mask with his eyes closed.
I don't think it's closed. That's two different stories.
And there was a German Shepherd. I don't even know all the details, but Bill Burr joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Until then, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I have got more tickets to give away. It's been a ticket palooza lately on the showbiz beat.
That's been crazy.
It's been awesome. They're giving me all these cool things to give away, and these tickets are for a special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens. How about that?
What?
Movies and theaters everywhere, July the 29th. You'll get to see it before that, a day before that, July the 28th on Thursday. You get to see Cowboys and Aliens. This looks awesome, by the way. I've been looking forward to this film for a long time.
I couldn't tell. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh, no, no. Like, I was a little scared. But then I don't know. It just looked like a bad mix of sci-fi and old. But then I saw Favreau was the guy that directed. I was like, I'm in. He's a great director.
I'm surprised that would scare you.
Well, I don't know. It just seemed like
it seems like nothing when it comes to the movie scares you off.
Yeah,
you
have gone Kevin James doesn't even scare you off.
Horrible things. And yet this interesting combination made you worry.
At first.
At first. Is puzzlement. Cowboys and Aliens, a great comic book, by the way. I was a fan of the comic book before I ever got to the TV. To
oh,
the
I didn't know
screen.
It was a comic book.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Great concept.
Well, and Kevin and I hosted the Cowboys and Aliens panel at Comic-Con like 8 years ago for the comic book.
No,
so I just can't believe Kevin's forgotten that
You
already.
Don't and you did didn't and that. You've never been and you won't. But as you mentioned, Jon Favreau is the director, starring Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford and Olivia Wilde. Great cast. Oh. Great premise. If you'd like to go, I got a little trivia question for you. If you can answer, at 1-800-520-1067. First, let's see. I got, how many winners do I have here? Let me read this real quick. Let me give two here. I'll give two here, and then I'll give three more away later in the show. First two callers who get through with 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer, we get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens. Harrison Ford, hard to believe, hasn't done many Westerns in his career. He's got one of those faces. You'd think he'd play a cowboy all the time.
Yeah.
Because he looks like perfectly suited for the Old West. This is only his second movie Western. Name the other one. 1-800-520-1067. The other movie Western Harrison Ford started. I'll give you a hint. It was a long time ago. And it was a comedy.
Oh, no.
Harrison is just a chuckle machine. That's what he is.
He really is one of the funniest actors working today.
While we're talking about Cowboys and Aliens, star Olivia Wilde is in the news. She's doing an interview about another movie that she made called Now that she stars in opposite Justin Timberlake. And she said she was able to resist his charms.
She's the only one so far.
Yeah. She has just ended an 8-year marriage, and she's single, and so people were speculating whether she and Justin got together on the set of the film, and she said, no, she loves him, he's a great guy, but nothing ever happened between the two of them.
I don't believe it.
Why?
I don't think any woman resists Justin Timberlake. The impression I get is that he has them all at least once.
I think so.
He doesn't even have to hit on him. He just walks by him and then they fall in line. Right.
Their legs just magically just spring open.
They have no control and no memory.
Yeah. While we're talking about Justin, you know, last week we were talking about Mila Kunis, who was invited to the Marine Corps Ball by Sergeant Scott Moore via YouTube. He put up a video. And then Justin Timberlake found out about it and sprung the news on Mila Kunis while they were doing press for their movie Friends with Benefits on Fox News. Kind of backed her into a corner, but she said yes, she accepted the invite. Then, after that, a female Marine, who is a martial arts expert down in Quantico, Virginia, she put up a YouTube video saying, all right, Justin, you pressured Mila into doing this. How about you step up and take me to the Marine Corps Ball in D.C.? And he has said yes as well.
Is that right? Oh, my gosh.
But now, see, the problem is, and we talked about this at the Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith this weekend, it's setting a dangerous precedent. Now the people think they can just go on the YouTube and invite any celebrity to anything, and now they have to say yes, especially when you're in the military, because you get sort of a carte blanche. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know? Well, another Marine has stepped up and put a YouTube video online, Sergeant Ray Lewis.
I don't even know where this is going, but I like it.
Issued an invitation to another celebrity to join him as his date to the Marine Corps Ball. It's for Betty White.
If there's one thing I'm known for, it's my muffin.
Sergeant Ray Lewis issued an invitation to Betty White to join him at the ball. Ray has served in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Hasn't he seen enough horror?
No
really?
Kidding.
Does he have to see that old bat really too? Can't we get him something better?
He's being funny. If she said yes, he'd go.
He says Betty
no.
has his long time has been his favorite actress for a long time.
No. He's being funny.
So we're waiting to see whether the 90-year-old actress will take him up on his offer or not. If he does, if she does, he's going to wreck her at the end of the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how could he not?
Take her back to the barracks and pass her around like a bong.
But first, hear her war stories of World War I. Because she's old. Really old. She's old because she's been around a long time. If I'm 90, by the way, I don't know how many plans I'm making.
You are 90, by the way.
But, all right, if I'm Betty White's age, I'm not making plans for October, by the way. I'm really taking it about 1 week at a time.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. It's nice.
We always take a look at the box office every Monday morning to see how the movies did over the weekend. There's no really any point in talking about anything other than Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. It's the biggest money-making movie ever in an opening weekend. $92 million just on Friday. the whole weekend, $168.6 million for one weekend. That makes it the biggest box office hit ever for one weekend, just beating out The Dark Knight.
What was anticipated for this weekend? Is this even exceed expectations, Ralph?
They were guessing over 100, but I don't think they guessed this much over 100 for the opening weekend.
Unbelievable. And Kevin, you liked it.
I loved it. It was great.
And you did not read the book, so this was your first time seeing the series conclusion. Was it satisfying to have everything you hoped for?
Yeah, I think they did as well as you could. I mean, how do you end something that's been going on this long satisfyingly? Mm-hmm. But I think they did.
Did Harry get his wand waxed at any point?
His wand waxed, no.
Does he enjoy the pleasures of of any females in this?
Yeah, but it's...
Now that he's a growed-up dude?
But it's only inferred. You don't see any.
I want graphic Hogwarts sex.
No, I think he and Ron...
I want to see his Gryffindor in somebody's Hufflepuff.
I think he and Ron did the wobbly H. Did the wobbly H with Hermione, but I don't think they showed that part. It cut out just before it, so.
Worldwide, Harry has made $500 million this weekend.
That's it.
That's all.
Just half a billion?
Just half a billion.
In
just,
a weekend?
Just the 500 mil. That's all they've scored so far. Chump change.
This is the kind of movie, too, that hardcore fans will see again.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you just go once and it's ruined and now.
So and then DVD and then syndication and the television rights. It'll end up making $174 billion by the time it's all said and done. Congratulations, Harry. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Alex. Alex was the first one through. Alex?
Yes.
Name the other Western Harrison Ford starred in.
It was The Frisco Kid.
Ah, The Frisco Kid.
Never even heard of that
Harrison
movie.
Ford and Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder plays a Polish rabbi, and Harrison Ford is a cowboy who helps him get across the great open wide west.
Alex, there's no way you knew that. You looked it up, didn't you? It's okay.
No, I did. I had that movie on my Netflix last
week. It's actually not bad.
Of course it is.
No, it's actually not that bad. It's actually a pretty funny movie. Congratulations, Alex. You're going to see Cowboys and Aliens. For anybody else, we'll give you all the details. Thank you. And Tyler also was a winner. Congratulations, Tyler. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chase Crawford. Chase Crawford, P.I. He's 26 years old today. Kristen Bell turns 31. Darren Malakian of System of a Down on Scars on Broadway is 36. Not one Glendale, huh?
No.
Not one.
No, he tried last time.
Well, he failed. He failed so miserably last time.
Well, usually Bean usually jumps in, too. Usually. Yeah. M.I.A. is 36 years old today.
Where is she these days, Ralph? Do you know?
Oh, man.
I thought you would enjoy that.
Sure you did.
Vin Diesel's 44. Wendy Williams is 47. James Brolin's 71.
Come on. Because her name is M.I.A., Ralph.
It's just Monday. It's only Monday, people. That's all you need to keep in mind. It's just the first day of the week. Ralph Garman, I'll watch you.
What about our pal Bill Burr, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, playing a sold-out show at the Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco tonight. He's at the Irvine Improv this weekend, the 21st through the 24th. Go to improv.com for tickets. Bill, how are you, man?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on with you?
Since the last I talked to you, Boston won another championship, won the Stanley Cup. So we've run the table.
Yeah.
We've won every championship in 7 years, and I'm retired as a sports fan.
So now you're just going to quit because it can only go down from here.
That's right. It's like walking away from the blackjack table when you're up. Going back to the hotel room. Maybe going to call a lady of the night. Celebrate, and I'm done.
All right.
I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan now.
Yeah, exactly, because you need something to root for that you haven't already gotten. It is an astonishing run to win the four major sports in a seven-year period. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure people have done the research on this. Has it ever happened before, Bill?
In a four-team city, I don't think it's been done. New York, I think, did it. No, because the Rangers always screwed it up because they didn't win since 1940.
Even
they didn't do it with six teams, so... Yeah, so what am I going to be, selfish?
Yeah, right. You know, you've spread it around a little bit, right.
I'm rooting for Cleveland. I'm rooting for the Pirates.
Now you're just going to pick a bunch of losers? And all right, I got you.
I look at cities like Boston, and Bill, you know, I live in Seattle, a city that has, well, first of all, we no longer have a basketball team. We've never had a hockey team. We've won one championship.
What about the WNBA?
Yeah, I'm talking about major sports here. We've had one championship in 100 years, and that was in 1979 when the Sonics won, and now they're gone. And then I look at a place like Boston, I go, I can't even imagine what it must be like to be a sports fan. Like, year-round, you must just be giddy when you live there. It just must be crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, you know, it's not like we didn't pay for it. We had everybody in the world chanting 1918 at us. They had all the stuff that, like, Cleveland's going through, where every time they show, you know, if Cleveland has a major game, they always got to go through all their heartbreak, you know, the Jordan hitting that shot, the Elway drive, the fumble, and all that. So
yeah.
I feel bad for those people just because, it blows.
It is important.
I took a lot of crap, that Bill Buckner stuff, the Bucky Dent stuff, the against the Raiders, the roughing the passer. A lot of Raider fans come up to me and they give me a rough time about that tuck rule. It's like, well, that was payback for 1976, Sugar Bear Hamilton. Roughing the passer, the guy's in the air. The guy is in the air.
Right.
As they were throwing the ball and they called roughing the passer. And back then, it wasn't like a 10-yard penalty or 15-yard penalty. They put the ball where the guy threw it. And it was the end of the game. He had thrown it all the way down to the one-yard line. They gave the Raiders the ball, and they ran it in the next play.
Bill.
Believe Mark Van Egan, and then they won the Super Bowl.
Bill, let me ask you a question. How does the reference from 1976 work?
Because how does it work?
Especially against a Raiders fan.
I'm just guessing.
Right now, there's some Raiders fan who was alive back then punching his dashboard going, damn, that guy's right. That's that one guy I need to come down to the Irvine Improv this weekend.
Irvine Improv. Bill Burr is one of the best stand-up comics. And,
he's the best.
I listened to your podcast last night, Bill, and you were talking about your girlfriend had your car, so you were in your apartment all day. That's a joke, right?
Is that a joke? No, that was true.
So you have one car.
Hey, that's what a debt-free lifestyle looks like, my friend.
Between the two of you. So if your girlfriend has your car all day, you can go nowhere. That was real?
Yeah.
I kept thinking, no possible way.
Kevin, I think there are a lot of families that have one car.
But
not everybody can, not everybody can afford or chooses to have two cars. Bill, you're gone a lot, right?
I got to tell you, dude.
I understand
everybody.
You can
live a debt-free lifestyle if you just don't go out. Like all this iPads, iPod, you don't need any of that. Why do you need to walk around with your entire record collection? You really don't.
So you can listen to music.
Yeah, I don't need to, like, watch a movie in an elevator.
All right, so your girlfriend...
and radio is free if you want to listen to something. You got it, right?
Yeah, radio's free, yeah.
So your girlfriend had the car, and then you segged into you didn't want to work on a submarine. And then from there, you went into your trying to fix the sink story. I got to tell you, it was very entertaining.
Oh, thank you.
The way I said it to try to make it sound not funny, but it really was.
It was funny.
You could make anything funny.
You could go to iTunes. It's the Monday Morning Podcast, or go to BillBird.com. Bill is sold out in San Francisco tonight, but three nights in Irvine coming up at improv.com. And I wanted to ask you about one more thing, Bill, because I remember one time when you were in before, you were telling us how obsessed you are with Breaking Bad. Don't spoil anything for me, but it came back last night. Were you satisfied?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
It's one of the best shows on television.
What a way to start a fourth season.
I didn't see it.
Like, that was one of their best episodes ever, and I love...
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
I love the direction that the Jesse Pinkman character's going in.
Tell me if this is true. I heard this season, picture this. You guys have all seen Breaking Bad, right?
Yes.
So you know what that shows
on. Shows on.
This
TV.
Season, Breaking Bad is going dark, is
oh,
what
really?
I heard. And I thought, how are they going to go darker than
wow.
they already have been with this show? Like,
you know,
how do you get more
great.
Bleak
you know
than that?
As dark as it is, like, they have some really hilarious, like, moments. Like, there's a lot of comedy in for what the show is about. You wouldn't think so, but there's a lot of comedy in there.
Those of you that haven't seen it, he was a chemistry teacher. He had cancer,
right,
so he decided
right.
to start making meth. He went into business with one of his students, and it is one of the best shows on TV. If you're not watching it, this season just started last
night.
Yeah,
one of his former students who was like
right.
a total flunky in his class, so that's why I totally relate to the Jesse character.
Sure.
Like, oh, yeah, that's me. I was terrible in chemistry.
Only
I
he
remember
has,
that.
Only he has a car.
Yeah.
That's the difference between him and you.
Well, Bill, you're getting the last laugh from however lame you were in high school. Now at least you can say, hey, look at me now. I'm headlining the Improv.
I'm
right?
performing at strip malls all around the country. Take
exactly.
that, everyone I went to school with.
That'll show them.
That's right.
All right.
Bill, I'm so glad we got a chance to catch up with you, man. It's been too long. You know, we love having you in, so anytime you got the time, come on down and spend some time with us, right?
You guys
all
are
right.
Awesome.
Thank you, Bill. BillBird.com is the website. iTunes, Monday Morning Podcast. Go to improv.com. See the man live in person on stage. You'll love it. Improv.com. Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right.
This is the Monday that a lot of people thought, well, the city was just going to fall into the ocean. The city of Los Angeles was going to be gone because one freeway was closed for about a day and a half. It was called Carmageddon, and it was a national story because it's the busiest freeway in Southern California. Every major city has a road that is the centerpiece. You close that down, you've got troubles. But what happened, Kevin? Seems like there was no deal.
Look, here's the thing. Everybody thinks that people are dumb. And
people are dumb, by the way.
There is some truth to that. But in an occasion like this, people can get it. And they just stay.
There was no way they didn't know about it.
They just stay away, and it's no big deal. I mean, they publicized this thing for months that it was going to be closed this weekend. There were signs on every freeway. And this is how the coverage, the TV stations, by the way, planned out like all weekend long they were doing Carmageddon coverage because it was going to be so bad.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't bad at all because everyone just stayed home, so there was no traffic.
We really don't have any traffic out here. We are here at this 405-10. Yeah, there isn't much traffic out here at all.
You can see very light volume on the freeway here. Well, Sepulveda Boulevard is wide open as well. Looks like everybody just stayed home, stayed away from the 405 freeway.
All right, so at that point, you would think, let's go to Plan B and cover the other stories that we have.
Absolutely. How many times do you have to reinforce the same thing over and over again that there's not much traffic? It would seem like they could literally come on and go, hey, all the freeways in Southern California moving great. Carmageddon, it did not happen. Now let's talk about what is going on, and that would be the extent of the coverage.
No, they had a certain amount of time that they had to fill with this story.
Oh, man.
And there's nothing going on. So they bring in an expert who sounds like Will Ferrell. It isn't, but they bring in an expert who is ready for the action in case there's all kinds of hell that breaks loose.
We expect ripple effects all the way down to the 105 into the Pasadena area. However, we're going to be out there monitoring that traffic and putting up signs and doing different things to try to warn the motorist that there's congestion ahead.
Right. If there's congestion ahead.
Mm-hmm. He is Will Ferrell. I want to hear that guy say the whale's vagina.
He totally sounds like Will Ferrell. I was like, that's odd that he's doing.
We expect ripple effects all the way down to the 105 into the Pasadena area. However, we're going to be out there.
Okay, so they expect, just in case, I mean, there's nothing going on now, but if something happens. Right. They're ready. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that we love is the man on the street interview. Those are always the best.
This is where they interview people who know nothing about the story just to get their opinion on it.
Yes, and it doesn't matter if the answer is bad or irrelevant or the opposite of their question. They will air every interview that they do. And this is odd because we at least, and look, we're bad. But we at least try to cut out the waste.
Yeah, their interviews are terrible.
So this guy is asking somebody if he's contemplating getting out of town because of this. I don't know why he can't mic himself or the guy that he's interviewing.
Are you contemplating getting out of town or what?
You know what? I've been here my whole life. I got through, what, two earthquakes? I live close by. I can walk. Been to the market. Got gas. Everything's under control.
All right, so don't you go back to the van and go, all right, we can't use that guy because he's not planning on getting out of town.
We're looking for panic.
Right, we want panic. And the guy's like, no, it's all cool. But they play it anyway. So then they talk to people about the noise. They had that angle covered, too. See, they had to think of all these angles. What about the noise?
This morning, we talked to some neighbors about how they slept overnight with all of the jackhammers pounding away.
And that's not fine.
All right. Nothing there. What else you got?
Nothing to that story. Hey, random guy, where are you going? And tell me your route.
So what kind of a route are you going to take?
I think I'm going to take Sepulveda to Magnolia.
How is that TV? Unless I'm going exactly where that guy's going, why am I listening to his route? Somebody help me with that. It doesn't make any sense.
it does seem like there should have been some sort of a meeting before every newscast that said, okay, we don't need all that Carmageddon time. What else you got? And then we could have gone on and talked about other stories.
All right, so
this is crazy.
Day one is a dud, so at the end of the night, they say.
So again, hopefully it's going to stay that way again for day two of this Carmageddon or Karma Not, as most people are saying.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest no one said Karma Not.
No one.
Not a single human being says, or is like everybody's saying Karma Not. Shut up. Nobody's saying that. You people are stupid.
Do you think Lisa is right that these people on television this weekend were destroyed, that there wasn't mass panic,
that
they really did want to see backups for 50 miles and people like staggering down the freeway like in The Walking Dead looking for food and water?
With blood.
When you see that, you are glued to your TV.
They wanted that so bad. So now it's day two and there's still no traffic and they don't know what to focus on. This guy has a unique angle though. He's asking. Now you have to understand, they have a helicopter, this news channel, that's over the 405. And they've got a camera that can zoom in. So this is the angle that they're taking now that there are no cars.
Can you zoom in on the lanes? Only because I'm wondering, with all of the tons of dirt and then getting the skip loaders in there to clean off the dirt, whether the striping has suffered. It looks like maybe they've taken the time to repaint some of those stripes.
Okay, so let's look at the
my God.
Let's look at the stripes on the street to see if they're dirty. That's what this story is. And then the helicopter pilot says,
"Oh, they did. They repainted all of the stripes there."
All right, they repainted them. That's good news.
Okay, so that's not going to be a problem,
right? So then they talk for about another 30 seconds, and then this dude goes back to the striping.
It's also interesting that they chose back to the striping, the lane demarcation that Kevin was talking about.
No, Kevin wasn't talking about it. You were. You made Kevin in the helicopter talk about it because you asked about it, you a-hole.
At least in some area, it looks like they chose to go with the solid
line.
It's
been that way, actually.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, it's been that way because of all this construction.
But now, if you're an officer out there and you want to phone in or tweet us, go ahead and do this. But I'll just harken back to my driving school days after one ticket I got.
I'm going to kill myself right now if I'm watching this. God. Now he's going to tell us what he thinks the white lines mean.
Where they said that the solid white line, you can cross over it. It's a suggested line of demarcation. It's not like a yellow line or a double line. So you can make lane changes in that area.
Now, don't you think like there's a producer someplace in the newsroom that's hanging himself right now?
Well, there certainly ought to be somebody
longer
on a headset.
Stress.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah. I'm afraid they said, all right, we're going to put you out with a helicopter pilot, news anchor. You got to go for 6 minutes. Enjoy it.
Now, that's what I remember. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think?
No.
Or Kevin will jump in here, too.
Assume that was the case only because you watched a lot of people
make their lane changes
as
anyway.
Normal.
Yeah, so that conversation went on for about an hour.
Oh, my God.
That is fantastic.
And then,
this is great.
Finally.
What? Carmageddon? It's more like a karma dud.
That happened.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not karma no anymore. Now it's karma dud.
It's not karma not anymore, like everybody's saying. Now it's karma dud. I love local news. It's always bad.
Right now, though, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was so good.
Wow. You said on your Twitter that you were going to go out and drive as much as you could in complete defiance to the mayor's advice. How'd you do?
I drove, and then I got so bored, I went jet skiing, and it was so amazing. See, I knew what was going to happen. It was like it was the easiest weekend to get around ever, but I knew that anybody who had any kind of a watercraft would be out there because the news media scared everybody into the water.
Sure.
So it was really crowded in the ocean, but it was so fun.
I follow Harvey on Twitter, as all should, by the way, at Harvey Levin TMZ, and he tweeted something about that came up in your live thing that you do on the internet every day about soaking. The Mormons and they're soaking. So I tweeted Harvey, I don't know if you saw this or not, Harvey, if you get too many to notice, but I said, please remind me on Monday to ask you about soaking because I have no idea what it is.
I had no idea what to talk about soaking, but I'm happy to talk about it.
Well, but now that I have gone back and looked at your Twitter following and looked at the postings that you made, you explained it and we're not allowed to talk about it on the radio.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Why?
Hold on. So you have limits?
What do you think?
What, are you kidding me?
I had no idea. I've never experienced limits with you guys.
Yeah,
well, we don't normally talk about soaking either, but I wanted to bring it up because Harvey, he introduced me to the term and to the practice, which is very popular in the Mormon community, and you owe it to yourself to follow Harvey on Twitter so that you, too, can find out about such things.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we did TMZ Live on it. It was so much. It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
It is hilarious. Are we talking about Peter North? I mean, is that the...
No, we're not.
Okay, all right.
But we can't discuss it. It just breaks my heart because it is so fascinating, Harvey. It's so interesting, and I want to thank you for bringing it to my attention.
You should call me after the show because there's a whole story. It's unbelievable how this thing works. It's unbelievable.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to things that we can talk about.
Okay.
I don't understand this brand new post that's up at TMZ.com,
oh
the entertainment website of record. Rachel Uchitel has given Tiger Woods back most of the settlement money that he paid her. Now, this was we were told at the time it was around a $10 million payout for her basically just to shut the F up so that she would not spill the details, and she was supposed to just go away. So what's happening?
This is an amazing story. So Rachel got the money, and there was a confidentiality agreement as part of this hush money settlement, and that means she can't talk about Tiger at all. And if she talks about Tiger, the way the deal was written, it said not only would she have to return the money, but Tiger could sue her for damages that he suffered as a result of what she said.
Right.
So Tiger's lawyer a few months ago contacted Gloria Allred, who was Rachel Uchitel's lawyer, and said, your client has violated the confidentiality agreement by talking to Harvey at TMZ numerous times, which is just an allegation he made. There was one time she did go on TMZ Live, true, but she never mentioned Tiger by name.
Right.
But she went on TMZ Live once, so that part's true. And felt that she violated by going on Celebrity Rehab, saying that she was addicted to love, and even though she didn't mention Tiger, they were saying it's clear what she was talking about. So they demanded all the money back, and they said, if you don't give us the money back, we're going to sue you. So here's the way the story goes. So Rachel went to Gloria. Now, what we're told Rachel was saying is that Gloria was saying, if you go and fight this thing, you're going to lose. And not only will you lose all the money you got, but you're going to have to pay him money and you're going to go broke for the rest of your life. So you're going to have to, maybe I can arrange it so you don't have to give all of it back, but most of it back, and that's the best we're going to do. So Gloria also... now, this is what Rachel is saying here, that Gloria, and we have this on good authority, that what Rachel is saying, she is saying that Gloria struck a deal with Tiger's lawyers, that Gloria would get her fee paid in full, even though, and she'd get to keep her fee, even though Rachel would have to turn her portion back.
Really?
Rachel agreed
to it. That seems sleazy.
Told, this is the best we're going to do.
Yeah.
So then a couple of weeks pass, and Rachel is telling people that she starts thinking about it, and she's saying, wait a minute, I just got screwed. Why is it? You know, and her position is Gloria Allred had basically made a deal with Tiger's lawyer that she would get paid and in return convince Rachel to give her money back. So Gloria would get her money and Rachel wouldn't. So that's the way she saw it. And she said, this is BS.
Okay, but and besides the fact that Gloria Allred is sleazy and we hate her, and I'm speaking for Kevin B., not for Harvey here. I don't understand why Rachel is giving this money back. I don't think that they could ever prove that she violated that agreement based on the descriptions of the two incidents that you mentioned, Harvey.
Well, I think that's going to become a big issue because Rachel has hired a malpractice lawyer who has contacted Gloria and said, if you don't give us that money back, we're going to sue you for malpractice. And they gave her a certain number of days, and if they don't get the money back, they're going to sue her. Now, just real quickly, Gloria gave us a statement saying that she can't comment on the case, but Rachel is no longer a client, and she's confident she did nothing wrong. So this is turning into a lawsuit where Rachel's going to be probably suing Gloria Allred, and she's already lawyered up. But that's what you just said is going to be one of their arguments. They're going to say, A, she shouldn't have given the money back, and B, it was a total conflict for Gloria to make a side deal to get her to keep her money and then convince Rachel to return hers.
All right. On a further note, if she returns the $10 million, can she talk all about Tiger?
See, what a good question.
That's what I want. That's
she could make
so
a lot
smart.
Of cash.
I'm telling you.
I'm
no,
sorry,
that's why
that
you're
again.
So smart.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
No, it's true. No, because that's the key to this. And the answer is she can't, and I'll tell you
what?
Why. No, I'll explain it to you. Because the way this was done, they let her keep some of it. Not, she had to give the lion's share back. But the deal is, you can keep some, but in return, the confidentiality agreement stands.
Oh.
So she's still bound by this confidentiality agreement.
By the way, this upsets me greatly. I'm happy the part where Gloria Allred may be miserable. I'm happy about that part. I don't ever want to see beautiful Rachel Luckettill sad. And one of the examples you gave me, the Celebrity Rehab, I watched her entire arc on that series. She talked about being addicted to love and the tragedy ever since her fiancé died in 9/11 and how she's always had trouble committing and blah, 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 blah. They never even got close to talking about Tiger Woods.
I know.
Never even came up, not once.
That's her position. She's saying that it was malpractice for Gloria to convince her that she was going to lose and therefore she should give the lion's share back.
Wow,
so you're right.
Can I give you
kind of a semi-related story that's just crazy? I don't know if you saw the other thing we posted over the weekend.
Is this where Shaq killed all those people?
No.
Shaq didn't kill people, first of all.
He didn't kill people.
No.
No. So, Elin Nordegren, Tiger's ex,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Is dating this guy. His name is Jamie Dingman, and he's a financial guy in who lives in New York. But he's been dating her for a while. Rachel is telling people, because I know that she is telling people this and insists that it's true. And think about this. So Elin's in Sweden with this guy. Rachel is saying she slept with this guy.
Okay, so Tiger Woods' ex-wife is now sleeping with Rachel Uckettell's ex-boyfriend.
Not necessarily a boyfriend.
Okay.
It's a guy she banged. She says. She says.
So, in effect, awesome. These two women have had sex together. Well, I'm reading this correctly.
Can you imagine, though, Elin is like, how the hell does this happen?
She had to know, don't you think?
No. No.
Wow. It seems like it's.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't think I'd bring it up. I don't think I'd bring that up if I were this guy.
I don't think you brought it up. But so there's a whole thing. We're going to have more on the site today, but it's just a crazy story.
That's sweet.
Wow. Unbelievable. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, of course. It's the best in the world. Check your local listings for TMZ television when in Hollywood or your visitors come to town. Be sure to check out the TMZ live bus tour as well. Harvey, great catching up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Bye, guys.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
I agree.
Yep.
That's a great new song from Red Hot Chili Peppers called The Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie. It is 8:57.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. New Red Hot Chili Peppers album will be out on the 30th of August. It's going to be called I'm With You, and that's their latest. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on The Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. What's happening?
Does it come with those T-shirts? One of those T-shirts has the arrow on it and says I'm With You, and then it points to the guy next to you?
That'd be awesome.
I only hope so.
That's always funny.
Oh, wait.
Awesome.
Guess what I have? All right, here's a very special thing. This doesn't happen very often.
You didn't give us time to guess what you had.
Well, you wouldn't guess.
Okay.
The folks at Showtime are good people.
Yes.
And, I am hosting the Dexter panel this year at the San Diego Comic-Con.
When does that come back?
I'm not going to tell you because I will be announcing that at the Dexter panel at San Diego Comic Con.
We're going to Comic Con in San Diego.
I will be hosting the panel for Dexter as well as Homeland, the new series that's going to be happening on Showtime with the beautiful Morena Baccarin, who you may know from V. She was the alien leader of V, and she was also in Firefly.
So
she's a stunning, stunning, very talented young lady. Here's the thing. It's already, you can't get the tickets for the Dexter panel. Boom, there's just no way to
go. Gone.
But if you're going to be at Comic-Con, if you already have your Comic-Con tickets, I'm not giving away passes to Comic-Con because those are not available.
Right.
There are no more left. If you're going to be at Comic-Con...
And you have some cash for us.
No.
What?
And you'd like to attend the Dexter panel...
Meet us outside the back door.
No.
Okay.
And you'd like to attend the Dexter panel, I have a pair of premium reserved seats for two people at Comic-Con.
To sit on the stage with the cast of Dexter.
No, they will not be on the stage. They will be right there in the front row. They'll get to see all of the amazing stuff that happens.
Trying to help, man.
We're doing the Shameless panel also with William C. Macy. Not William C. Macy.
William H. Macy.
Michael C. Hall.
Yes.
Too many initials in this panel. So you get to see it all, but you have to already be going to Comic-Con. I can't get you Comic-Con seats. What I can do is give you primo seats for the panel. Okay? That's what I'm going
to
do.
So if you're going to be there anyway and you have tickets to be there anyway, then you can attend.
You can come see the Dexter panel, which is always a cool event because they show the trailer of the upcoming season. You get to see the first glimpses of the new episodes. It's going to be pretty terrific.
Can you get me in? Can you get me in?
I can't get
come
you
in. Come on.
Here's your trivia question, though. I want to give it to a real Dexter fan, so you got to know something about Dexter. Here's your trivia question.
If I answer it, can I get there?
No.
Come on!
First caller to get through with the correct answer to this question. It's pretty simple if you're a Dexter fan. What is the name of Dexter's boat? That's all you have to tell me. What's the name of Dexter's boat? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First person through with the right answer. And you're going to Comic-Con already. I can't emphasize that enough. You'll get a pair of passes to see the Dexter panel at Comic-Con on Friday. So it'll be very cool.
You want Carmageddon?
Or Thursday.
That's where it's going to be.
Either Thursday or Friday.
You have no idea, do you?
I don't know. I got a lot going on. You know what I don't have going on, though? Batman. The Batman panel.
Yeah, Ralph.
Oh, it's not happening?
Here's what's funny. It is happening, but I can't do it.
There's a panel at Comic-Con on the 1966 series Batman.
The 45th anniversary panel.
And Ralph is busy.
And they asked me to host it.
And Ralph is going to be the guy. Something else.
I was going to be the guy. And then it turns out...
What are you doing instead?
I have the panel for Sony Pictures. It has been extended. It's running a little late because we're doing a special... thing about the Amazing Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie that's coming out.
Right.
So I will be showing footage from that, as well as talking to Andrew Garfield, who is Spider-Man, and Emma Stone, the lovely and talented Emma Stone.
Meanwhile, though, Adam West is somewhere lonely and crying because his little friend Ralph Garman isn't there on the stage.
No, someone from the Hub is going to take over for me, and they're going to run the show, but it's my loss. I mean, the panel will be fine without me. I'm the one who's losing here, but I got to take care of business because the fine people at Sony are kind enough to invite us down there this year, so...
I'm extremely sorry about all this, citizens.
So am I, Adam. Yeah, I was bummed. I was going to do it, now I can't do it.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You're going to do it. You do almost everything there is to do anyway.
I'm doing a lot of stuff.
You're going to have to give up one thing.
I'm doing a lot of stuff.
But it's the thing you like the most.
I know. Although, we're doing Hollywood Babylon down there. That's going to be fun, too. Friday night at the House of Blues. You can go to csmod.com. I think we still have tickets available.
It's your normal Friday night show.
No. So do it on
you always do it Friday nights in San Diego. We know that.
Oh, damn you guys. You know, I was looking up the Dexter trivia. I found some interesting stuff out. You want to hear the list of actors that they talked to, either auditioned or talked to play the role of Dexter Morgan before they got to Michael C. Hall?
Yes.
This is a long list of people, and your head's going to explode.
Because he's so...
He is Dexter.
He's so Dexter.
No way around that. He is Dexter in our minds forever. This is who could have been Dexter,
okay,
to some degree or another. They had either interviewed or auditioned all these people. Judd Nelson. Judd Nelson is Dexter.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Would that have been gone?
Ben Stiller. Can you imagine Ben Stiller as Dexter?
Not a bit.
John Cryer as Dexter? No. Anyone?
These are all not a bit.
John Cusack as Dexter. That maybe could have worked.
Maybe.
Tom Cruise.
Not a chance.
No. Charlie Sheen?
I don't think he's got the acting chops.
I don't think he does either. James Spader.
He would have been great.
Would have been an interesting
He could have been a good Dexter.
Emilio Estevez. Apparently, the whole Sheen family auditioned for this at one point or another. Sean Penn. They were talking to him. See if he'd be interested. Could have done it. He could do anything.
I think so. Yeah, he could have done it.
Jake Gyllenhaal? Nah, too pretty.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, come on!
Now you're just
Wouldn't
making
that have been an
names.
Unbelievable comeback for him if he became Dexter?
Matthew Broderick.
No.
Andrew McCarthy.
No.
Dan Aykroyd.
No. Way no. Way the hell no.
Dan Aykroyd.
There's not enough no for that one.
Dan Aykroyd is what
not
I'm
enough
saying.
No. That's dumb.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting stuff. I think we have an answer to my trivia question.
We
already,
do?
Don't we? Sonia?
Hi.
Hi, Sonia. You going to Comic-Con?
Yep, we are.
All right. Did you plan on going to see the Dexter panel?
We now are.
Yeah, now you are. What's the name of Dexter's boat?
The Slice of Life.
The Slice of Life. The Slice of Life.
I don't get it. I don't...
Oh, never mind. Right. Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you the details, but I will see you at the Dexter panel at Comic-Con this coming weekend.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Chicks dig serial killers. That's the one thing I know.
That's the one show that really makes me question myself. I love that show so much. Does that say something about me?
No, that's the way it's built. I mean, obviously, it's meant to bring you in and make you see another side of evil that you wouldn't ordinarily think about. And they make him a good guy. He's evil, but he's good. I mean, it's that battle that keeps you intrigued.
And I'm going out at night now and doing the same kind of thing.
Now
cool.
You may have gone too far.
That's cool, right?
That's where I draw the
line. We're still cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. James Brolin, 71 years old today. Talk show host Wendy Williams is 47. Vin Diesel turns 44 years old.
Glendale!
Vin Diesel's not Armenian.
Too early? Go ahead, keep going.
Just kidding.
He's not Armenian.
I was getting it prepared.
MIA, the rapper, is 36.
Glendale!
No.
Kristen Bell's 31. Chase Crawford is 26 years old today. And Darren Malakian of System of a Down and Scars on Broadway is 36.
What?
Playing Kevin off. Keyboard guest playing Kevin off. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph will be in here in a minute with a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, you'll have more passes for the advanced screening of Cowboys and Aliens, one of the summer's most anticipated movies, in just a few minutes. Right now, though, get ready to say goodbye to our boy Beer Mug. Now, we've come to know and love Beer Mug over the years here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We've come to know him.
All right, we've come to know.
Let's not get carried away.
And I don't think I'll ever forget the day that I found out, and it happened about 2 or 3 months ago, that Beer Mug was only 28 years old. Because I swear to you guys, I'm not joking, I thought he was at least 40. Yeah. I look at Beer Mug and I go, there's a guy who's middle-aged, and God bless him that he's still doing this job at this stage in his life.
He's 28 going on 58.
Yes.
Right. When I found out that Muggs was 28, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But now, thanks to Lisa May's investigative reporting, it's starting to become clear to me how his body looks the way it does. And Beer Mug, this music, I mean, I'm only playing this prematurely by maybe 2 weeks. I mean, this is going to be played sometime this month for you.
He may die by the time it runs out. Just let it keep rolling, dude. Just let it keep rolling. So what we had Beer Mug do is write down every single thing that he ate for 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. I would like to focus on Friday, if I could.
It was the best day.
Just this past Friday. This is Beer Mug and what he ate. 1-foot-long meatball sub from Subway.
Okay.
Foot long.
Yes.
Okay, that's a pretty healthy sandwich.
Yeah. Now, let me stop you right there and ask this question, because I love Subway, as we all do, and I'll go to Subway and I'll buy a foot long. And what that means for me is I'm going to have the 6-inch for whatever meal it is, and then maybe the next meal I might have the other half.
Nope.
Are you a guy who eats the whole foot long at one sitting?
Yep. Whole thing, yeah. And then he followed that up, because he was still hungry, with 2 lobster sandwiches from the lobster truck.
Delicious. What?
And then he followed that up by going back to Subway for a 6-inch turkey sub.
Yeah, I didn't think the lobster sandwiches were going to be filling enough, so I had to go to Subway.
Have you had enough bread yet? You've had 4 sandwiches, and by what time?
We just started.
Got to load up on my carbs.
What time did you get the second Subway?
I went to the lobster truck, and directly after lobster truck, I went to Subway.
Right from the lobster truck.
Yeah, because they were kind of expensive, and I didn't think 2 was going to fill me up. It wasn't going to be substantial enough.
But look, what time of day is it, as Lisa asked, when you had the second Subway sandwich after the lobster truck?
That was noon.
So this is all before noon.
Yeah.
4
everything
sandwiches.
You've described so far. 4 sandwiches. And when you go to the lobster truck, 99% of the people who go to the lobster truck, I bet, get a lobster sandwich. 1 lobster sandwich.
Sure.
And that's their meal. You bought 2 at one time, or did you buy 1 and then go back and get a second one?
I bought 2 at one time.
Oh, no. He knows himself. He ordered 2. But it still wasn't enough, so he went right back to Subway.
Yep.
Then he wrote down 1 nectarine. I'm not sure if that's the same as what we would consider a nectarine.
Yeah, it was.
It is. Okay. And then you needed more because you were hungry, so you went and you got 1 large Wendy's chili.
Yep.
Large.
Large.
Okay.
Cheese in that?
Cheese and onions.
Sour cream?
No, I didn't have sour cream.
Okay. Oh, see, because you're watching your weight,
yes.
Right? So no sour cream.
I've overdone it.
But he also ordered at Wendy's not just the large chili, but 10 Wendy's chicken nuggets.
Oh. Okay. Did you ever get out of your car, or do you just drive from one place to another?
I think he went in.
Well, I got out before.
But I mean, does he go anywhere in between, or is this just like
I'm
the
not,
food
hang
tour?
Hang on, I'm not finished with Wendy's.
Okay, sorry.
1 large chili, 10 chicken nuggets, 1 Wendy's deluxe hamburger.
All yep.
This is all the same. This yep. is all the same meal.
Yep.
Muggs,
what's happening?
I like food. Lay off of
well,
me.
You're not hungry, right?
Then he went
I
to
am.
The Hawaiian barbecue beef bowl. He got that from the Aloha Fridays food truck.
Delicious.
Another food truck?
Correct.
Yep.
He chases,
do you follow them?
He chases food down. It's not enough that there are restaurants that are stationary. He follows food.
Yeah.
Hey, a truck! Muggs,
when you're driving down the road, do you have some sort of a compulsion, maybe, that makes you stop at every location that serves food?
Are
like you have some sort of OCD where you can't drive past a place unless you stop and eat there?
You can't. Here's our question. Let me just put a finer point on it. You can't be hungry every single time you order food.
I am.
That's not
possible.
You
can't be. You absolutely can't be. There's no way.
So then
it's not possible with all the. I mean, you had three meals worth at that Wendy's.
He did.
No, because.
One large chili, right. 10 chicken nuggets, and a deluxe hamburger.
You know how small those nuggets are?
Then yes. Why do you even bother?
Then he had something called spam sushi.
What?
It's spam on top of rice wrapped in seaweed.
Who would even eat that?
Delicious.
It's not delicious, first of all.
We're still in Friday, right?
This is all Friday. And then he washed all that down with 11 Bud Lights.
That was, yeah.
Two shots of Jack Daniels and one shot of Patron.
Oh.
All right. In Beer Mug's defense, they were Bud Lights.
That's true.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he is cutting back some plays. They are Bud
Lights. So that's a diet.
Yeah.
So absolutely. So we asked Lisa Bay, because Lisa Bay keeps track of these things because, you know, she's a girl. What must that be doing to Beer Mug's body? What's the calorie, the fat, the sodium? Give me some numbers on what a day like that would do to a man's body, Lisa.
All right. Well, the calories are about, I would guess, almost three times as much as he should have in a day. It's 5,400 calories.
And he's a growing boy.
Yeah.
He's growing a lot.
By the inch, yeah. The fat grams, 171 grams of fat.
Sweet.
So that's
now,
about,
I don't keep track
don't
of fat
know.
Grams, so I have no idea what's considered normal or healthy in terms of fat grams.
30,
40. No, I think really in a day?
Weight, I think it's under 50.
If you're not trying
for
lose
reals.
Weight, you could do 50. Yeah. So
okay.
So he did 170.
171. Right. Carbs, if you care, 442.
Sure.
Got a carb load.
But you do have to carb load because...
what?
Because
you're training?
He's in that athletic event that day.
Are you in training?
Yeah, for the Ironman.
MMA? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
The people who seriously train do not have 224 grams of protein in a day,
tell
which
about,
is what this was.
Tell
but
us
the
about the salt.
Sodium
yeah, tell us about that.
Is the worst. 9,000 grams of sodium. Now, somebody emailed me and said, I misheard you, right? You said 900, right? No, 9,000.
Yeah.
444 times as much as any human being should have in a day.
And what does sodium do to your body?
Oh, it just...
depletes it of its water?
Yeah.
Well, your blood pressure is going to go right blood through the roof.
Shoots right through the roof
right.
And you have a heart attack.
Yeah. And that wears on your veins and makes your heart work harder. I mean, it's just, it's all so
but
bad.
But what we haven't brought up is all the exercise that he does.
Oh, wait, he doesn't do any exercise.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Thank God I had my Nectarine.
That's true.
That probably saved your life.
Not a lot of people left around.
It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ at 9:43.
Jason writes in, Dear Kevin and B, my friend used to eat just like Beer Mug. He went to the doctor about it. Turns out he had a tapeworm living in him. That
yes.
was over
Sweet.
That was over 20 feet long.
Ah!
Oh, man. Mug might have a partner living inside him that is helping him eat all this food. Enjoy your little friend, Mug, says Jason from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Have you thought about that? Is it a tapeworm situation, maybe?
That could be. If it is, you leave it there, because then you can eat anything you want.
There is a tapeworm diet.
Is there? For real?
You know, obviously it's not doctor condoned, but
right.
Women have been known to eat in a little capsule. They'll eat a tapeworm to put it in their stomach so that it
oh my God, I was kidding.
Eats a ton of food while they're eating, and you actually start to lose weight because you
is
can't
there
get enough caloric
downside?
Intake.
Is there what any happens? Downside?
Yeah, you have a giant worm living in your intestines.
Okay, but if you're willing to accept that mental image, is there any damage that the worm does to your organs or anything like that, or is it pretty safe?
I am not a expert on the life of the tapeworm.
What do you think? They put like one of those mouth guards over the tapeworm? It'll eat its way right out of your stomach into whatever you're in.
Well,
your intestines, your
know.
Liver, who knows?
I'm intrigued by this idea.
You're an idiot.
Rather than get off the couch, would like to eat a tapeworm so that he can eat more without gaining weight.
Producer Alex, get us Dr. Mo for tomorrow morning. I want to talk to him about getting me a tapeworm. And also, any of our Mexican friends can help me. Where can I find a tapeworm?
Why do they have to be Mexican?
Because you can buy anything in Mexico. That's why we know that.
Oh.
Whatever you're looking for, they sell in Mexico. I'm sure they got a tapeworm stand or something. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. This is the answer I've been looking for.
Well, how very enlightened and not racist of all of you was that statement. That was lovely.
I've been down there a lot. I've never seen a tapeworm stand.
It wasn't a racist thing. It's just that you can buy anything down there. You go down there for drugs that you can't get in America. You buy fireworks that you can't buy in America. It has nothing to do with race. It just has to do with they have a little laxer laws on things that are being sold. That's all.
Like tapeworms.
Beans, like tapeworms. Beans down Tijuana looking for the tapeworm show. He wants to know the back out of what bar. Can you see that?
All right. Update on that tomorrow. Right now, Ralph is here.
We're
to show
updating
this
the tapeworm
yes,
tomorrow.
I want to get a doctor on. I want to find out how effective it is and whether it's a good idea or
and
not.
And I want Bean to have it. I want that to happen. I want all of the above to happen.
I've got passes to give away to the very special advance screening of Cowboys and Aliens. Happens on Thursday, July the 28th. The movie itself is in theaters everywhere, July the 29th. But you'll get to see it before anybody else if you are one of the first three lucky callers who knows the answer to this trivia question. Jon Favreau is the director of Cowboys
yes,
and Aliens.
Correct.
That is correct. That is not the question. Oh. You know, I remember back in the day when I saw Swingers, I was like, you see that guy? Not the tall, good-looking one. The shorter one next to him? He's going to be one of the biggest directors in the world one day.
You never said that.
I said that. Yeah, I said that one.
Never
first,
said
first
that.
Time. Yeah.
Nope. Mm-mm.
No one he gave said us that. Iron Man. He gave us both Iron Man films. That space game film. Remember that?
Right.
Zathura or whatever the hell that was. Right. I like that an awful lot. Very talented guy.
He really is.
Name me the first motion picture Jon Favreau ever directed. First movie made for theaters that John ever directed. He did a little TV work before this, but the first movie he directed. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. If you know the answer, you're one of the first three callers, boom. You get to go to the Kevin and Bean special advance screen. That's how it works.
Boom.
It's Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. All 10 spots occupied by Harry Potter, oddly enough.
Is that right? Well, that's
weird.
It's
number one. It's number two. It's all of the movies in the top 10 this week. It might as well be. $168 million it made this weekend.
Ralph, you don't know much about the Harry Potter world, do you?
I saw the first one.
Okay. You're the wrong guy to ask then.
Yeah, okay.
The janitor. What's the janitor's name, Mr. Felch? I swear to God.
Mr. Felch?
I swear to God.
Oh, that doesn't seem likely.
I swear to God, that's what they called him.
I think that's right.
Thank you.
Could it be Filch, maybe?
It could be. I don't know. Felch. I'm telling you that's what it sounded
what?
Like.
I think it might be Felch.
Could it be Fletch?
Nope.
No.
It's not.
Ralph, I didn't even see the first movie or read the books. What didn't you like about Harry Potter that made you not continue
I
with
did
the
like the first one enormously. It's just I never really got around to seeing the second or third one. I'm like, oh, I'll catch them on DVD or whatever, and then I never did. And then I realized by that time I was so out of the mythos and the storyline of what was going on, I just didn't have the energy to try to catch up and do everything I needed to do
don't
to
you
follow
think
along.
That- that every generation that has small children now for the rest of the world is going to introduce their kids to Harry Potter at some point when they get old enough.
Sure.
And you'll probably live through it once Olivia, you know, starts being 8 or 9 or whatever.
Harry Potter will be what The Wizard of Oz was for many generations, which was sort of the quintessential seminal fictional work for kids, you know. Either you read the book or you watch the movie or whatever, but Harry Potter is going to be that, I think, from now on. And it's great. It's great there's something like that and kids can get excited really about, good. Especially reading, and although, you know, now with the movies, I guess you really don't have to, but that their imaginations...
Well, reading is for losers.
That's true. And their imaginations can be captured by a character like that, so it's kind of cool. The movie made $92 million just on Friday, by the way, to give you some perspective, and so far around the world, it has made $500 million so far. $500 million.
In one weekend.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. And they're pulling it, or is it going to stay in the theaters next weekend?
they're going to keep it around for a little bit. They don't have to. They've made their money back.
Yeah, they really have.
But they're going to go for profits now. Transformers Dark of the Moon was number two. Then Horrible Bosses, Zookeeper, and Cars are your top five. Winnie the Pooh, speaking of legendary fictional kids characters, he came in at number six with $8 million. Then Bad Teacher, Larry Crown, Super 8, and Midnight in Paris rounding out your top ten at the box office. Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony... It's all over between those two. They split up. You may have heard the news over the weekend. They were very wise, by the way. They released their statement like late Friday.
It's kind of like the White House does,
yeah.
Right? It's just sort of
you're
like...
hoping you're catching the tail end of the news cycle and that people are busy over the weekend.
Don't
and,
pay
you
attention.
Know. So, you know, hoping by Monday the passion for the story has died down, and I think it has. Jennifer Lopez is going out of town. She is going to the Ukraine to perform at a wedding for $1 million. She's doing like three songs at a wedding for $1 million.
I've seen this movie. It's called Hostel. She's not coming
She's
back.
Never coming back. And reportedly, Mark Anthony's he's still on tour. He's performing in concert. And this weekend, he got on stage and said, "So they tell me I'm single," and started flirting with girls in the audience. So he is wasting no time.
He's taking it hard.
Keeping himself busy while he is going through his divorce.
But he's still the Crypt Keeper, right? This guy?
He's not
Does
attractive.
Does he look like death warmed over?
Yeah, he's ugly.
And his chick before Jennifer Lopez, let's remember, was Miss Universe. So for some reason, he seems to do well with the ladies.
Dayanara Torres, yeah, that was his other wife, so he does okay for himself. Reality television news. Howie Mandel has announced he's working on an American version of a show called Celebrity Stand-Up. This was developed in Denmark. You know, if it's made in Denmark, it's got to be good.
I hear that.
Good stuff there. Here's the premise. Celebrities come on the show, talk about what happened to their lives in their lives during the past week, and then they develop into a stand-up routine. Then all the celebrities compete in front of a live audience to see who's best. Other comedians will be there as mentors to the celebrities, helping them craft their chunks.
What kind of celebrity, in quotes, do you think they're going to get?
You're going to get just what you're thinking of when you ask that question, in my opinion. You're going to end up, it'll be like from celebrity rehab right to the stage. See Michael Lohan up there telling us about the hilarious time he beamed his kid in the head with a remote control. Yeah, it's not going to be good.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that? That's what I'm concerned.
That's a great question, too. Yeah.
I believe we have an answer to my trivia question. Holly, on line one, I believe it's the first caller through. Holly?
Yes?
What was the name of Jon Favreau's first motion picture as a director?
It is Maid.
Maid, a film he also starred in alongside Vince Vaughn, his buddy from Swingers. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all details, but you are going to see Cowboys and Aliens before anybody else.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Congratulations to Michael and Danny. They also knew the correct answer was Maid. You ever see Maid?
No, never heard of it.
It's a good movie.
I did see that. It was with Diddy, right?
Yeah.
M-A-D-E.
Maid. It's about two guys who were trying to get into the mob, basically. Yeah, they both play two sort of loser boxers who were trying to get into
it. Yeah, it was a good movie.
Very entertaining film. You can check that out.
Here's the update for you, Kevin, to set your mind at ease. The character's name in Harry Potter is Argus Filch. F-I-L-C-H.
Filch.
F-I.
Good.
Filch.
Not what you were hoping.
So much better.
You dirty bastard, you.
It wasn't me. They said it. They said Filch.
In your mind, though, where'd your head go?
That's how they said it.
Give me a straw. That's what you're thinking.
Oh, it wasn't. That's not what I was thinking at all.
Wow. Today's celebrity birthday is James Brolin is 71 years old today. Wendy Williams of the Plasmatics. No, I'm sorry. This is the talk show host. She's 47 years old today. Vin Diesel is 44. MIA celebrates her 36th birthday
today.
Hey,
Ralph, where is
do
she?
It again? Don't do it again. We already put you in the
what
file.
What makes you think? What goes through your mind to think, yes, I should make
what,
that joke again?
You're already filed. What happened to MIA? Where's she been? I haven't seen her around. Do you have any idea where she might be?
File.
But you can't. Once you're filed.
Hey, how many?
Once you're filed.
Is this double jeopardy with the file? Can you be held for the same crime twice? Can you be prosecuted?
I felt that you dropped the ball on it last time, so I was giving you the opportunity to do the right thing this time and play along.
Nobody wanted to play along because it was dumb.
You got the sense the first time I said, ooh, damn, I wish I had participated in that wonderfulness. Is that the vibe you got off of me after you made that joke?
That was my feeling, yes.
Yeah.
You read that well.
Yeah. Once again, Asperger's rears its ugly head. Kristen Bell's 31 years old today. Chase Crawford, the actor, is 26. And Darren Malakian.
Glendale!
System of a Down and Scars on Broadway. He's 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have Mark Paul Gosselaar and Brecken Meyer.
Yeah, right. He's going to come in and face me. He's scared of me.
Why would he be scared of
me? MPG's scared of me.
Why?
Because he knows.
Why? He knows what?
He knows I know where all the bodies are buried.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
They're in the new show called...
No, he was supposed to be on a while ago, and I tweeted him. I said, oh, you're still scared of me? Is that why you're not going to go? Because he canceled. He said, no, I'm not scared of you.
So. Franklin and Bash, the name of the new show.
I love Franklin and Bash.
Okay. And we also have Joe Rogan, comedian Joe Rogan, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.